welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's see what's on the docket. Mr. Brightside with an assist from the great Tom Likas. We're going to do that early this morning.
You two have become the dynamic duo of radio.
Well, you know, it's in our blood. We both could be off doing television. There's no doubt about that.
That one is funny.
Well, now, Tom's a bona fide talent, and there's I'm sure has many offers coming in from many studios to not only do television, but probably features.
You know,
no, I'm serious about this, but we've chosen to do radio.
What, Tom Likas, how do you feel about the JonBenet murder case? That's what I thought.
So we're gonna
good times.
We're gonna get an assist from Tom. You'll call in. I'll put a happy spin on what ails you. Also, Lisa Loeb. And I like Lisa Loeb, and Dave Damashek and I don't agree on many women. We just there's certain guys. It's once while you run. Well, there's one.
What is that?
There's one we can agree on. Rachel Perry. Yeah. There are these guys you meet where you go, hey, you like pizza? And they go, I love pizza. And you go, great, because I love pizza, too. No bigger pizza fan than the Ace Man. Well, I'd beg to differ with you, but I'd say Dave Damashek likes pizza a little more. Great, you want to get a nice thin crust with some mushroom? I was thinking thick crust with pepperoni. And now an argument breaks out. This is how a lot of guys are with women. We all agree we love women. But then once in a while you run into that guy. Now, it's nice to run into guys who like the same pizza. Now, my agent, for instance, James Baby Doll Dixon, he'll be in town to collect a bunch of Emmys with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert and all that stuff. I think today we like the same pizza. Very easy for us to agree. Dave Damashek and I, both pizza lovers, we don't like the same pizza. We do agree on the Lisa Loeb topic.
She unites a lot of
men.
Yes,
she's darling.
To get on top of her, is what I'm saying. That topic.
The glasses. She's hip kind of looking. You know, she's attainably hot.
She sort is, of. But I'll tell you the thing about Lisa Loeb. First off, she has the stink of a Zappa on her.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be a while. She was with one of the Zappas, wasn't she?
Many years. And the other thing is, although I think she appears to be sort of coy and, oh, gee, you're asking me out, I'm not so sure if she'll really date civilians. You know, they do these shows, and she does a show where there's a lot of regular guys, but not so sure, although as the years wear on and as the biological clock keeps ticking, your chances improve. Mm.
Tell me about it.
Yes.
Standards dropping with every day the ovaries age.
Yeah, it starts off, you know, when a girl...
Drawn off the hizzle.
I'm not too proud.
When a girl is 15 or 16, she wants to date a prince, you know, and then at a certain point... They want some celebrity guy or some musician or something. At a certain point, hey, if you're not beating the F out of me, you're in. That's where they
end
up.
The progression.
Yeah, you gotta wait around till they get into their 40s or whatever, but eventually they'll come around. Dave's jerk list. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this.
There's a link there, as a matter of fact. You and I have never you talk about women that we've argued had some very vicious arguments about whether a woman is hot or not. We've argued the Jessica versus Ashley Simpson thing.
It almost
came to blows. But I would say our arguments about women are only the third biggest argument.
David's and Ashley.
Really?
Pre-nose job.
This is pre-nose job, too.
How do you feel about her now?
Oh, she's even foxier. Yes, even foxier. Jessica Simpson has mannish features. A big cleft chin and everything. Listen, number two on the list is our biggest arguments. I'm now listing the things we've argued about regarding lists. Now, this is the list of biggest arguments. Number two biggest argument is over pizza toppings.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting matches. I say pepperoni is the, you know, everybody loves it. You argue your ridiculous thing about how people just abide by it and nobody really likes pepperoni, which is silly, obviously.
Yes,
but then number one is the fruit.
Fruit.
I've been attacked. by several people. Gaggles gathered around me to argue that the apple isn't as delicious as I say. I named it fruit of the century, as you'll remember, some years back.
Yes.
I was the victim of much of verbal abuse.
Well, I think, and it's why I would have made a great lawyer if, in fact, he didn't have to have education to be a lawyer. When Dave used to bring up his fruit of, you know, these list things that you think are 6 months old from this radio show. Oh no, they go way back. And he was announcing his list at the writer's table over Kimmel about 3 years ago, and he put apple at the top of his list. Now I'll tell you, the Rainier cherry, the cherry that has a little yellow or orange in it, and then the red that are about 25% bigger and plumper than the regular cherries, now at the top of my list. Do yourselves a favor, try them, although they're like $9 a piece. It is one of these things where you're down to your bottom ones, and the last one's rotted or brown or something, and the wife's going to throw it away, and I'm like, no, I will eat that rotted cherry. That is $9 worth of food. Yes, but it's spoiled. It's covered with maggots. Give it to me.
By the way,
the pit, bitch. I yell at my wife when she eats those.
Angie, the producer, threw away in her styrofoam container yesterday from her lunch. She threw away a handful of French fries, and I went into the trash.
No, you did not.
They were still in the styrofoam. They weren't just indiscriminately fried around.
What about spaghetti? Would you fish that out of a trash?
If it was delicious.
So Dave has said the apple was the number one fruit of the decade, and I explain when you get the fruit salad that comes with your sandwich at the diner, the last fruit left at the bottom of it is the apple.
Yeah, you eat the berries, you eat the mango slices, you eat the kiwi, then
even
the
pick out the grapes with the fork, and then what's left at the bottom is the apple. Thus, how could it be the best when it's surrounded by other fruit that is all consumed before it?
That is not an argument. I understand that seems rational, what you're saying, mm-hmm. but it's not. Listen, you would like to have... You don't put... Let me think here. With pizza. Please. If you have pizza.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you said, let's put pepperoni, some onions, some mushrooms, mm-hmm. some sausage, all this on there.
Yeah.
Chocolate just doesn't go on pizza. It's delicious, mm-hmm. but it doesn't belong on pizza. Same way the apple. No business. Mm-hmm. The apple doesn't go with those.
those
fruits. It doesn't belong with them.
They're in the fruit category. If you were trying to figure out what the best meat was on a pizza, and that was the meat that was picked off or left last, that would be the least desirable meat. They're all in the same category. Your argument is fine, except for you jumped categories.
Okay, I can do it with ice cream if I have to. I can do it. Like, there's certain ice creams that go together, and then one that stands out and doesn't.
Don't do it with ice cream.
Let's just be happy Lisa Loeb is coming in, and we can all agree
that she's lovely.
Yes. Yes, and I think she was, and I think David Alan Greer was in here last time she was in here, and she was a little bit perturbed by some of the things he said.
But is that really? Right? What did he say to her?
She was leaving, and he got onto the mic and started talking trash, you know.
How can you talk smack about Lisa Loeb?
Well, David has a disorder, as you know. I mean, he really is nuts. People think he's funny, and that's true. It's a byproduct of him being insane. He really is nuts. All right, yesterday I became obsessed with this song that John Mark Carr was singing at his friend's birthday with the huge mullet. And again, I really feel like there's nobody who, if we pulled tape of you from 1987, wouldn't be sporting a mullet or at least a horrible hairdo in one way, shape, or form. That's the worst part about being convicted of everything. Here's the problem. There is now, and from this day forth, there will be videotape of everyone through every stage of their life. Think about the time we're living in. My children are 3 months old. There's going to be videotape of them at every birthday party, on every holiday, every security malls. There will be, and I'm trying to think, but I don't think my kids, from the time they start going out into public, will not be videotaped on almost a daily basis. If you really break it down, there's not going to be an occasion that they don't go through a convenience store that has a videotape going, that doesn't go to some function, some school thing, some recital, some whatever. Even if it's just going through an intersection or down on a corner where they have the video monitoring, your kids will be on video every day, and we'll just go find it. If your kid ends up molesting some kid at the preschool, they end up running or doing whatever, we'll just go back. What year was that? We'll just pull a tape. There will be video of everybody. Whereas for me, there's videotape of me standing in front of a Radio Shack in 1984 doing that thing where I'm looking at the camera that's pointing outside the window and trying to look at the TV set monitor that's facing me at the same time, trying to wave and look and then look and wave with my head going back and forth, never being able to see myself look at the camera, only me look at the TV set while the camera sees me.
Like a dog. You were out there for 2 hours trying to fit. Why can't I see?
Dave, it's an hour 45. It's not... 2 hours is...
That's an attack.
That's an attack. That's a gross exaggeration. But there is a videotape of this man singing, and I saw it on Entertainment Tonight. He sung a couple of bars. Let's hear it.
And in another clip from 1987, Carr can be seen singing and strumming a guitar at a friend's wedding in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Nice choice. Good instincts, by the way. Yeah, the guy with the mullet. Pedophile with the mullet? It'd be nice to ring in our marriage with this guy banging away on a six string. But, of course, now what happens with me is I sit home. Usually the day is done about 7:30, and the wife and I settle in with the twins to watch a little entertainment tonight. And for me to scream about why Eva Longoria's on nine times. And then I get to this song, and I stop it, and I say to my wife, do you know this song? And she says, no, I don't know. And she's now ready to move on, like anything. It's as if I asked her, did you read this book or see this movie? Answer, no. Can we watch the rest of the goddamn show? Oh, no, we'll not. No, I have to go back and relive it a few times. Then I do that thing where I go, come on, you know it. Come on, you know it.
No, I
come
don't
on,
know
you know it. Come on, you know it. No, no. Then we get into what's wrong with you for not knowing it. Well, why don't you know it? You should know it. I know it. You know, you should know it. Then I get into, you know it, you just don't know you know it. Now I'm going to sing it for you, and you're definitely going to know it, except for I only know the part that they're singing. I'm full. No, I still don't know it, and now I'm getting angry. Come on, you know it. Okay, get on the computer, and let's find it.
Because you don't work the computer yourself.
I don't. So fire up that computer, put the kids to the side. Well, what's the name of the song? Well, I don't know. You know, it's I'm full. Try I'm full. There's like nine A's in there with a couple of H's and some L's. Come on. Now, can't find it. Well, you're not looking like you're trying to find it. We got to find this thing. Now it's on. Now the plasma TV is being ruined because the image of him and his guitar is being burnt in to my TV set. I'll now see his ghostly figure behind every show I watch. Hey, isn't that the pedophile with the six string? Please.
Great. What's John Mark Carr doing on American Idol?
Can we focus on Roadhouse without bringing him up all the time? I don't know, Adam. Every time I come over, I just want to bring him up.
I like the idea that you dispatch your wife to do something she doesn't want to do. It's great that you now have the twins. In a couple of years, they'll be proficient. You'll just have 24-hour staff to do your bidding.
Oh, by month number nine, those kids are going to be better on the computer than me. So we can't find it. Then I come in obsessed this morning, and I do the same thing with Angie, our producer Angie, and she can't find it. And then I'm amazed that nobody, I've now spoke to nobody who knows this song, which I considered a hit in its time, which I couldn't figure out. I thought it was the mid-80s. Turns out it was the late 70s. I think it was like 1978. Or it was on a compilation album from 1978. But I decide the song's a hit. I know it very well. And no one else I speak to knows it. So now we have it. We finally found it.
LeBlanc and Carr. LeBlanc and Carr. Ironically, Carr.
Carr. Shares the same name. That'd be nice, bro. Just as good today as it was in 1974.
The Wah-Wah, big in the late 70s.
Wonder what songs he rejected on the way to choosing this.
You picture him making out one of his...
teen brides.
Crazy letters and pedophile phone calls.
Which we'll hear some of later in the news, by the way.
Here it is. You should just play this behind him every time.
Now that I hear this, this does ring a bell for me.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
It's kind of a pretty song.
It's very nice, yeah.
It's very 70s.
Hey, love. I always sing it the same way. It's just I sound horrible, and people immediately close their ears. But when I do it, it's that song.
I just got a little creeped out when you were singing at me and locked eyes with me. I thought I had to avert my eyes.
Dave, let's put this fruit thing aside.
Just be happy you don't have a little cowgirl outfit on right now.
Speaking of fruits, me and Bored Up Bill want to talk to you after the show.
Please don't look at me.
A nice song, and it's a pretty good wedding song too, although it's probably dropped out of the top 10 now.
Doubt it will ever be played again.
You can try to woo me with your eyes, but my heart belongs to Bruska's ears.
Let's see if we can get Lisa Loeb to cover this on her acoustic guitar.
Not a bad idea.
Then we'll do that split screen thing where she sings with a pedophile. You know what's it? Natalie King Cole gets together with Nat and sings with her. I mean, that kind of thing. Singing with a pedophile. Hey, get ABC on the blower.
I will. They do have that new show, Duets.
Yes.
Fox show.
How about pedophile duets?
Right. A real singer and a pedophile join forces to bring back a hit.
It is a nice song. Yeah.
It's pretty.
I could get up there and do the rock anthem with Gary Glitter.
I love it.
And now the McMartin Singers.
Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, well, that's a different kind. That's an old school pedophile. It's just because, 12-year-olds make you hot. And you marry them, that doesn't make you a pedophile. It just makes you from a certain part of the country at a certain time with a certain education. It makes you a certain color. If you're white, you grew up in the South, and you're over 55. Oh, that's there he is. Yeah.
Who gets the Michael Jackson duet? That seems like the big one.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's the coveted one. All right, we're going to play a little Mr. Brightside. You call in 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Tell us about your problems. I'll put a happy spin on it. Put things in perspective with the great Tom Likas assisting me as well. So he'll be on the phone, and so will you. Lisa Loeb. Lisa Loeb coming up after this.
AM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. Call up with your problems at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
Someone's trying to file sexual harassment charges against me for some inappropriate comments that I never made.
Well, you'll be a registered sex offender, and that's not a great thing. But you will be registered, and that's nice.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Like this Stone song.
There, I was just about to say, because I thought you don't like it. Yeah, no. Happy is one of the great rock and roll songs there is.
Great song. Yeah, I'm just saying Stone's batting average has
more
been bad.
More bad songs lately. Than good, that's your thing.
Well, at this point.
Right.
If the plane had gone down in, 81, we'd all be singing their praises. But still a good band and some great songs. So, here's what we're going to do. And I think we're playing that because we're going to be giving away some Rolling Stones tickets coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. So, hang out for that.
It's Bueno.
Yeah, that's right. Ozzy will be singing the songs. You'll be guessing right along. All right, Mr. Brightside. Well, Bruska brought this up. I don't know if we've played this early before. The reason we're doing Mr. Brightside a little earlier this morning is Tom Likas, who is usually up by about 5:30 doing show prep. His show doesn't come on until 3 in the afternoon, but he's got both barrels blazing come 5 a.m. Tom?
Yes.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, hello, Adam.
It's great being with you at the Playboy Mansion a couple of Fridays ago.
Unbelievable.
It was. It was.
Yes, we had an unbelievable time. And did you know that I signed a lot of racks?
Yeah, no, I know. A lot of rack, well, as we say in the automotive world, rack and pinion. He signed the racks with the pen, not the pinion. A little driver joke there. Thanks, Steph. I wish you were this gregarious when I was on your show.
Yeah, but I was going over some show prep, and came up with some new rules for Likas 101 this afternoon.
Oh, really? New? More rules?
Yes.
Now, Tom, I have said many times, $40, the max you can spend on a date, but that rule was enacted in 1994.
Yes,
gas has gone up. The price of living has gone up. Shouldn't it be up at like $48.50 or something now?
It was amended by the Likas 101 Council in 1998.
Oh, sorry.
And it was amended $40. Never spend more than $40 on a date. Spend $0 if you can.
I see.
But this morning I conceptualized, dear, a new theory on weekend dating, and I say to all of my students, I say to all of my sons, do not go out on a weekend date unless you are guaranteed to get laid.
Okay, so now, do you need to get that in writing? Should you have something drafted up? I mean, how, you know what I mean?
No, you just need to know.
Okay.
You need to know, and for example, cell phone dates. If your date's cell phone rings during the date at any time, then you immediately leave.
I see, even if it's an emergency.
Yes, you do. It doesn't matter what's going on. You get out.
What if it's one of her friends reminding her to give you oral sex? Even then.
Then I believe that should be a message that should be texted.
Okay, then text that
and,
one.
And, you know, to disturb me with a cell phone ring would be unbelievable.
Okay.
And Tom, what if she doesn't put out?
Well, T, if she doesn't put out, she has three dates, a three-date rule.
Right, kick her to the curb.
Yes.
I gotta say, Tom, this is all very well and good now that we're both big radio stars, but back when I was swinging a hammer and making $14 an hour and driving.
I've been swinging a hammer for years, dear.
I'm just saying, I'm driving an old Nissan pickup truck with a lumber rack on it.
Yeah, I've been doing my share of driving for a long time.
Well, you know, Tom, I'm working all day, you know, putting 2x4s together, you know, swinging the lumber around.
Yeah, I've been swinging my lumber since the 80s.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've got a car with a bed box full of tools.
Yes, I've been working my tool, dear. And don't you know that, T?
I do.
I've been, Tom, what I'm saying is I've been hammering away. Out
we
in the
all have.
Nailing everything in sight.
Yes, I've been laying some plaster.
I got my screw gun out,
yes.
And I'm screwing a, huh?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
anyway, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if this is going to work for your average schmo who picks up a gallon and announces, I'll not be spending more than $40. I must get guaranteed sex. We'll not go out on a third date if I don't.
Adam, you'll recall at the Playboy Mansion when you were live on my show that you will recall that we had many Likas 101 listeners there.
Right.
And you and I had a very freewheeling exchange.
Yes, we did.
And you will also know, dear, that the information that I disseminate for my audience is taken to heart.
I understand, Tom. All right,
yes,
listen.
Yes, it is.
Who am I to question the man, Tom Likas?
He's a father figure to many young men.
You let's, know that, T.
Let's cue up the segment.
Last time you got laid, man.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
All right, let's talk to Janet. Janet?
Hey, Adam.
What's the problem, baby doll?
Well, I was working, and I got hurt really bad on the job. And the next day, I got fired.
So you're injured on the job. What happened? How are you injured?
Well, I was working at a grocery store, and I got my hand stuck in the top part of a shopping cart.
Well, wait a minute, Tom. It sounds like she actually injured herself.
Oh, wait.
Was the hand broken?
No, I went to the doctor's and had it checked out, and apparently there was nothing wrong with it aside from the fact that it was bright purple from the middle of the palm.
It was badly bruised.
Yes.
And it was a mess.
It was a mess, and yes. You couldn't go to work the following day because you'd injured your hand.
No, I still went to work.
Oh, wow. Oh, woo-wee.
And then you were...
I'm guessing, dear, you're in some sort of HMO.
No.
Okay, and you were fired because you injured your hand?
No, I was fired for insubordination.
I see. Well, you're a little bit angry, right?
Just a tad, but the union is working on it.
And who did you get to pay that medical bill? Because, you know, women are the cheapest creatures on
All right, Tom, now listen. Tom, this is not your radio program.
Exactly.
Look, here's what I'm going to say to all the people that were fired at their job. A lot of people don't have a job to get fired from. It's like you people that complain about being dumped or broken up with or thrown out of college. Thrown out of what? Fired from what? Dumped by whom? You had to have something. A lot of us aren't in relationships, never have jobs, never do go to college. I only wish I could have been in some college so that I could have been thrown out by the evil dean when I was 19. No, I was cleaning carpets in Van Nuys. Right, Tom?
Wow.
You have that. And then you have a lawsuit and workman's comp and all that great stuff you get.
Yeah, so then you have you have funds to pay vagina money.
Yeah, that's right. See, Tom came up with vagina money, and my claim to fame is the behymen, the male hymen. Those are two. That's why we get the big bucks. All right, let's talk to Joe. Joe?
Hey, Adam.
What's the problem?
Hey, tell me what you think of this one. My sister-in-law is in jail for at least another year. My brother is homeless. He's lived in a park for the past 4 or 5 months.
Boy.
And now, and since then, I've been taking care of my 14-year-old nephew, and it looks like I'm going to have him for at least another year.
I just inherited
a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I understand.
Now.
This sounds tragic. So even though the mother's in jail, but she has a son.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I mean,
and why is this bitch in jail?
All right. Now, wait a minute, Tom. Well, Tom does bring up a good point. Why is the bitch in jail?
She says it's for traffic warrants, but it's actually drug-related, things like that. But, of course, she's always said to me it's a traffic ticket, and I don't know how you can go to jail for a year with a traffic warrant.
Let me tell you, Joe, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I'm no Tom Likas, but I say, you know, so you don't have to pay the vagina money.
No, you don't.
You get a penis nuptial. I was off the top of my head, Tom, but I hope it, you know, we can probably smooth it out and you can work it into your repertoire.
I love that.
Thank you, Tom.
I love that.
Thank you, Tom. Well, here's the thing, Joe.
Yeah.
You essentially have a 14-year-old, and even though that 14-year-old is a broken shell of a teenager because Pop's gone and living in the park and Mom's in the hooskow, he's an indentured servant at this point. Don't look at him as a nephew. Look at him as Mr. Belvedere. He must do your bidding now. Shine your golf shoes, pick up after you, hustle your beers when you have a lady over. But here's the thing. You get the 2-year-old, you're changing diapers, you're looking after him. You get the 18-year-old. The 18-year-old is F you, you're not my dad, and you guys are throwing down in the living room. 14, perfect age. You can still kick the ass, but he can still make a beer run.
Did that cheer you up?
You know, I feel better already.
All right.
Oh, wow. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Joe.
Tom, let's just try one more.
Yes.
Let's talk to Kyle.
Now,
Kyle, what's the problem? How can we cheer you up?
Now,
hi, Adam. Hi, Tom. I don't love my wife anymore.
Mm. You don't love your wife anymore?
Mm. No, I go into work, and I just dread going home to her.
Yes, you do.
Well, at least you love work by comparison.
I'm a garbage man, Adam.
Wow, that's bad. And why don't you love her? What happened?
It's a long story. She's getting older. You know, I can't fake it with her anymore. I touch her, it makes my skin crawl.
Yes.
Yeah, it's creepy being with women over 22, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. And it is. And perhaps you don't love her because she's a bitch. Is that possible?
I think it's probably the facial hair.
Here's the good. The good news is, Kyle, because of your very limited income, you have almost nothing to whack up when you two do get divorced, you know? I mean, it breaks your heart when you hear about these big celebrities or these business moguls, these guys who captain these Fortune 500 companies. They're breaking up with the old lady, and she's getting $500 million for eating bonbons for the last 15 years. Am I right, Tom?
Yes.
You guys got nothing.
That's right.
So there'll be nothing to split.
I've said on the air, dear, and on the Tom Likas show, maybe you've heard me say, why is divorce so expensive?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's worth it.
You yourself have had many.
I do that joke about once a week.
Yeah.
But it still works.
I say you move it up to twice.
Well, thank you, Adam, and thank you, Teresa.
Right. And the good news is, you're a garbage man, Kyle, so I'm sure she doesn't love you either. Let's just go through a list. I'm just looking at the phone screen here, Tom. We can't get to all these calls, but Sharon's husband was raped in prison. Chuck here has a prolapsed anus. Marsha has a son that's suffering from Marfan syndrome. Beth has cerebral palsy. Jonathan has lupus. We have Nathan is actually calling from Beirut. He's a Jew. He's under attack right now. Martin over here on line 8's on fire. Frank sat on his own testicle.
Yes, he did.
Sheila, line 1, has anorexia.
Oh, wow.
Tourette's syndrome. Jennifer was raped by the Duke lacrosse team and the coach, it says here.
Wow.
Other shingles, spina bifida, spinal meningitis. There's a lot of bone cancers, a lot of osteoporosis, bulimia. There's a lot of problems here. All right, Tom, God bless you. Really.
Well, thank you, and it's wonderful always to be on your shows. I know it was wonderful for you to be on mine.
It was a delight and a thrill, Tom.
And if you'd like to email me...
Where do we do that?
My email address is my name, Tom at blowmeuptom.com.
Thank you. The great Tom Likas, everybody.
Feel better? We knew you would.
I think put
on a happy face.
Yes, D.
We helped a lot of people.
We certainly did. I think we put things in perspective. They say the best medicine is laughter.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you have spinal bifida, well, why shouldn't you laugh it up? At least have Tom
clean
laugh
out
it
the
up.
Medicine cabinet. Right. You no longer need those other medications.
That's right. All right. He's on. I think, almost everywhere we're on, and he's on 3 o'clock, I think, just about every market we're in. Tom Likas. Lisa Loeb has arrived. She's ready to go. We'll talk to the cuddly, the fetching, Lisa Loeb after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. In the studio right now, the amazingly talented singer-songwriter, the shockingly available star of TV's number one single, and definitely the hottest girl in glasses I've ever seen, Lisa Loeb.
Single me out.
Lisa Loeb in studio. I love number one single, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a, well, I've always, you know, always been attracted to you.
Mm. Oh, hi there.
In a nice and healthy way, too. Like, you're the kind of girl where you get the best of all worlds. You're attractive. You have a nice body. There's nothing wrong with you physically.
She's talented.
And she's talented. No one give you any crap about it. There's a lot of people I'm into. That, you know, I get a certain amount of crap for.
Right. You bring Lisa around and your friends are impressed.
Friends, family, everyone would be cool with that. Yeah. You know, unlike, you know, when I was into Brigitte Nielsen. Everyone thought it was a joke.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, you got cut out of the same cloth. Lisa, I know it's early for you and I appreciate you coming in. You're here to promote. By the way, that was Dawson. That was our engineer Dawson who laid down that promo for you. He's
Thank
in love
you.
With you.
That was a really, really nice promo. I wish I had one of those every morning when I wake up at 4 a.m.
I think you that could be possible were you to meet Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
He would probably whisper sweet nothings into your ear.
Are you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you are single.
Yes, I am single.
Oh, well,
I am. I'm trying so hard.
Well, are you trying to stay single because of the show? Because if you find a mate, the show's over.
I know. I am I go on lots of dates. I'm not one of those people who doesn't go on dates. Everybody sets me up, and I like to go on dates. Mm-hmm. It's just finding that person who, you know, there's the spark and there's the friendship. It's hard to get it all together.
I think we should get Mike Dawson in here.
What type of guy do you like? What type of guy? Somebody who's funny, smart, passionate about what they do.
Hold on. Dawson, don't.
Don't bother.
Stay in the safety. Stay in the control room.
Do you like long shorts?
Shants.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with Kevin Smith the other day in New Jersey, and he was wearing his shants. He's hilarious.
Kevin Smith is a genius because there is no fatter person that looks thinner than Kevin Smith. Because
he wears
his
shants.
His ankles.
Kevin Smith is morbidly obese. I mean, Kevin Smith, and he's a dear friend.
He's a dear friend,
but he is a pig. No, Kevin Smith is 5'9¾" and goes 262, and yet looks like he could whoop you in hoops. You know what I mean? Like, he grew the beard, smart with the beard. He doesn't have the fat guy face, but even so, he grew the beard. He wears the great glasses, and he wears the shants around, the pants that stop about where Gilligan's pants ended. And the guy looks like, hey, you look at Kevin Smith and you go, he could lose 8 or 10 pounds. He could lose 111 pounds,
and
according to his doctor,
chubby.
And still be chubby, but yet looks fine. Makes his movies, hangs out with Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, we got to do a screening of Clerks in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Oh, because you're doing this Netflix thing, right?
Yeah, the Netflix Rolling Road Show. It's a fun way to spend August. I can't believe I'm out on tour. I was going to stay home and make a new album, and instead I got the schedule. They said, do you want to host this thing? And I looked at it. I thought, I have to do this. We got to go to Iowa, where Kevin Costner played with his rock band.
You got to go to Iowa. Say no more.
Iowa
forget about
awesome.
Costner. You
it's
got
exotic.
To go to Iowa.
Iowa was
How
awesome.
How many planes
the
does it take to get to Iowa? You have to get on a boat, and then you get on
yes.
a plane?
The
How's
Shining.
It work?
Exactly.
Where did you go for that?
The Shining was in Estes Park, Colorado, at this hotel called the Stanley Hotel that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining.
I'll tell you. Now,
it
wasn't, it inspired him, but it wasn't the hotel that it was actually.
That was the Awani, I think, in Yosemite.
But in Iowa, you went to the thing for, you went to the actual field, right? Where they did Field of Dreams.
Yes, and some of the original baseball players walked out of the field, and I was a little bit scared, but mainly I wanted to cry. I seriously, that movie makes me cry.
Well, you're going to meet our own shortlist Joe. namely Dawson.
Nice.
In a couple of few. Yes, I don't know when it became acceptable for adult males to wear the half-short, half-pant things. I'm now seeing a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I contend it's not, too. But there's a lot of guys sporting the flip-flops and the shants, and it's like, aren't you in your 40s,
and
buddy?
And by the way, 100% of the time, they have a MySpace page.
Drawn off the hizzle.
That's right.
MySpace is a special place to go.
So, Lisa...
I meet a lot of people there.
Lisa Dawson would like to go to your special place, by the way.
He can go to my MySpace.
He'd like to log on.
Whatever you're calling it this week. Lisa is going to be at the Queen Mary... Now, that is either Drag Bar Ventura or it's a huge ship in Long Beach.
Exactly.
I'm guessing it's the one out in Long Beach. She's going to be at the Queen Mary, and she's going to be there Thursday at 8 o'clock, and they're going to do the original Poseidon Adventure, yes?
Yes, we're showing a screening of the Poseidon Adventure, but you have to get tickets because it's a limited audience. You have to go on their website to get tickets.
Is it going
to
be in the screen, the Queen Mary?
Yeah,
or
it's
is it
on the
be...
Queen Mary.
Wow.
And you would go to Netflix.com?
You go to Netflix.com, Netflix has an X/roadshow, and you can find out details about the Queen Mary and the Poseidon Adventure. And you can also find out about the screening of Escape from Alcatraz we're doing on Saturday night in Alcatraz.
They're
at the prison.
Oh, what a gig.
I think
it's
really
fun. I mean, most gigs like this, you get a little money, but in exchange, you have to go to some crappy place and hang out with a bunch of idiots. But you get to go all these neat locations and watch these classic movies. And you should see the Poseidon Adventure, A, because it's a great movie, and then B, it is hysterical to see Leslie Nielsen circa 1971 in a very straight role. You'll just start laughing when he's like, good God almighty, look at that wall of water. You're like,
he's the best.
Tell the joke. You just laugh hysterically.
Lisa, you're probably wondering who the man in the checkered shirt is. He didn't wear his shants. He wore his long pants because he knew you were coming.
Oh, thank you for wearing your full-length pants and not your OP hot pants.
Wait, before you speak, Dawson. First impressions. What do you think, Lisa?
He's cute. Maybe a little young.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm judging a piece of meat.
Nah. How old are you, Dawson?
32.
Oh, I was going to guess 28. But that makes sense. 32 is not that young. That's actually in the good...
Yeah, that's in the range, right? What's the bottom of the range?
I'd say 31, probably.
31's toward the bottom. What's the ceiling?
I think you should do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
2 weeks after you're dead.
Yes. No, not dead. Probably the top. I don't know. In my mind, I would think around 45, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm open-minded.
Flexible ceiling.
Exactly.
All right. And Dawson, what do you have to offer?
What do I have to offer?
Uh-oh.
In this corner, a brand new car.
You know, let me tell you what that answer is. That's right. Please up there do. With right now. Ask me what I do for a living.
Adam, what do you do for a living?
Right now, nothing good. Ask me what college I'm going to.
What college are you enrolling in?
Right now, I'm going to Pierce Junior College, which means nothing, but I will be doing something. Come on, Dawson. Sing your own praises.
I have a decent job. I'm a fun person. I'm relatively intelligent. And Adam's my boss.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I get a note from the boss?
Well, you get a chance to meet me.
Oh, I can meet
through Dawson.
I can meet the boss?
Dawson, isn't it more relevant that she's a musician and you play music yourself?
I'm not a musician. I do play music, though.
Good. I actually prefer not to date somebody who's doing their homework in the other room while I'm on the phone with friends and doing things other than writing music.
Dawson also told me a couple days ago when I was doing some liners with him in the booth there that he used to have a bong that was powered by a snowmobile engine. What was that bong you were talking about, Dawson?
If that doesn't say father of your children, Lisa.
Tell us about this bong.
I'm impressed by the science.
It took four men to operate it, by the way.
I lived with a math genius in college, and he created
a
gravity bong that was...
How'd it work,
Dawson? 2 feet on the top. Just think of a big box that's about 4 feet high, 2 feet wide. About like that.
You climb inside of it.
Exactly. Whatever.
Fill it with water.
Fill it with water, then drain the water, and it sucks everything out.
Lisa,
pour the water
you don't get
in.
This on eHarmony.
And it goes back into your... I hope my parents are not listening right now.
So
you get along well with people, is what you're saying.
I do.
He does.
And scientists, too.
And he likes a little herb every once in a while.
Friend of nature.
College grad, Dawson?
Yes, UCSB.
Wow.
You gaucho.
Yeah, wow. College.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the whole, I like cooking as far as herbs go. Like, do you like to cook or?
Yes, I do.
And what do you do for fun?
I play guitar, ride my bike.
Same time.
Actually,
makes them so dangerous on the road.
I do cook for fun.
Okay, what do you cook?
I'm really, really good.
He uses butter. He gets the THC out of the cannabis.
I probably sound like an idiot when I say it.
Okay, tell me.
The best thing I cook is chicken soup.
Okay, well, if I ever get sick, I mean, I'm sort of a vegetarian. But I do eat chicken soup.
Okay.
I can't help myself. I have to have chicken soup.
You need that.
Soup.
Well, what do you say? You know, Dawson, as I look at him, you know, he's an attractive guy. To us, he's Dawson, but fresh at eyeballs, he's a good-looking guy. He's blonde. He's young.
Agreed.
Educated, yes.
Let's let Mike make his final pitch. Be a man.
Well,
don't make Ace do your work for you.
I would love the chance just to go out with you one night. We can have a good time. I'm not looking to get married. I'm not looking to tie you down to anything. I just would love to hang out with you, get to know you a little better. If you are honestly single, I've had a crush on you for like the last 7-8 years.
Wow.
And it would be really
time.
Cool.
That's nice.
Well, if we could hang out for fun
spilled.
For friends. For friends, right?
Lisa,
Olivia said he's not interested in getting married.
No.
I want somebody who's looking for
some
biological
clock there, my brother.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
No pressure is what you're saying.
Saturday.
Okay. Well, we can figure something out. I want to see some movies.
Okay.
I mean, what would you like to do for fun?
I got to think about that. I'm not good at planning dates, but when I do figure it out, it's awesome.
And remember, if you marry Dawson, you also marry his bong. Because bong is going to
be
his
big
best
problem,
man.
Actually.
His bong is going to give you
problem.
Away. You'll be given away by bong. It talks through the carburetor.
Yeah, that could be a problem, actually.
Hey, Dawson, what movies do you like, speaking of Netflix over here?
I think the best movie ever made is The Sting.
Oh, interesting.
Newman Redford.
Interesting.
Nice.
He likes the work of Cheech and Chong.
Up in Smoke 3,
yeah, and I've never seen Up in Smoke. I have the record, but I haven't seen the movie.
I
have
seen
the Cheech and Chong albums. Okay, so you like the what? Okay, so that's on your queue. That's that's what you say. You're on your queue on Netflix.
That's what's on the line.
Exactly.
In line.
Exactly.
All right. And by the way, I got to say, I had a buddy of mine talking to me about Netflix. I never really thought about it, but he said this is the best way to go. Sign up. They have all these movies. They just keep coming.
Was
it
crazy.
Like $20 a month or something?
I don't even remember how much. I think it's like a lot less. And you get a number of movies that, like, I have three I can have out at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I've been carrying around The Godfather in my purse, and also The Man Who Wasn't There, because I want to watch the DVD extras.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can have up to 8 movies out at a time, and there's no late fees, which is good for me.
Well, let me blow Dawson's horn for just one second.
Okay.
Dawson is a nice combination between actually graduated and accredited university. I mean, you know, UC Santa Barbara is a decent school. He actually graduated, but he also has a sort of, and he's a professional, but also has a sort of easygoing, laid-back side to him, which you don't normally get. It's either you get the slacker guys, a great time to hang out with and tilt a few beers with, or you get Mr. Wound Tight in the collar, all uptight and all Republican. This is a nice match between the artistic entertainer type and then the 9-to-5er also knows what it's like to work for a living.
That's actually a really good combination.
Yeah.
So
that's what you get in Dawson.
And this music in the background is making it all seem so fun.
I mean, right now you're carrying around a copy of The Man Who Wasn't There. Why not replace it with You've Got Mail?
I'd like to see.
Hold on a second.
I'd like to see The Poseidon Adventure.
Thursday. Coming up Thursday.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it, no.
Never seen it.
Would you go with him to? Would you allow him to accompany you?
Sure, if he wants to come with us. I mean, I don't want to be bad, but we have a group of friends going already, and you're welcome to go with us on the group date.
I think that's a start.
I don't know if that's what you wanted to do, but I think that's kind of fun.
I've had a lot of dates begin with. Well, I can't stop you from showing up at the restaurant. That's not a great sign. But Dawson,
you know what I mean.
Yes, there's no law that states that you cannot attend this function on Queen Mary.
Oh,
and Lisa cannot physically stop you. Can he go with the group?
Yeah, a group of us are going to the Poseidon Adventure. We're driving up there, hanging out, getting some food.
Okay. Can he drive with you and your friends?
We should get a station wagon so we can all fit. But yeah, that'd be fine.
No, why don't you take a separate car? Then you don't all have to squeeze and be uncomfortable in a car with everybody. He'll just give you a ride.
I got a pickup truck.
Okay, can I ride in the back?
Well, it's where he keeps the bong. It's a huge bong. He needs a pickup truck to move it around.
First dates are weird, too. Sometimes you don't want people to know where you live.
Totally.
Mm.
Yes, I agree.
That's my
personal. Meet somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what women do.
Right. All right.
Sorry.
We need to take a break. Dawson, I think you're in for Thursday. I say you shouldn't push. You're going. You'll go to the function with Lisa Loeb. If you ride together or not, so be it. You'll show up. You guys will have a few wine coolers.
I'll jump on the bed, get super drunk, listening to Depeche Mode. You just can't get enough.
Out under the Lido deck.
And then I'll sneak out of the bedroom window. Yeah.
To one of the haunted suites there in the boat. You know, they say the boat is haunted. Is there a thing over 80 years old that a gay guy doesn't think is haunted? Let me just ask you that.
Phyllis Diller?
Just think about it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Lisa Loeb after this.
Then I'm done with you. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Hell of a show for you today. We got Dave's Jerk Rundown or List or whatever the hell we're calling it these days. Also, Ozzy's going to be giving away tickets to see the Rolling Stones in concert. Stones tickets? Hell yeah, check this out. I'm Jumping Jack Flash. Show your boobs. Huh? And we're also going to be talking about the car wash coming up on Friday. Hey, Jack's car is going to be extra dirty, if you know what I mean. That's going to be en fuego. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Lisa Loeb, that was your lover boy.
Oh, yes.
And his voiceover. She's going to be at the Queen Mary along with Engineer Dawson watching the Poseidon Adventure. The original, the new one, Blue Ass. Sorry to say, I went out and saw it. I love any maritime disaster thing, but it was a horrible, horrible movie.
I try to avoid most movies that take place on boats. I don't know why. I liked Cabin Boy. Mm. And I like the original version of Poseidon Adventure.
How about Dead Calm? There was a good ocean movie. Okay. Very spooky.
Okay, you're right.
You know,
there are some good ones out there.
A lot of people want themselves a chase scene through downtown Tokyo, but go out into the open water where there's not another human being in sight. It's just dead calm. And boy, it gets spooky. Was it Billy Zane? Who
was
in that movie?
Yeah. Billy Zane was the bad, crazy killer.
Nicole Kidman,
yeah.
Yeah. Good spooky movie right there. So Lisa is also going to be playing at the Key Club at the Morongo Casino. Free acoustic show at Friday, this Friday, yeah. 7 o'clock. We have a call for you. Talk about that. I also want to find something else out. Chad?
Yeah.
What's happening, Chad?
Oh, not much. How you doing, Adam?
Good.
Hello, crew.
As I said, sorry to cut you off, but I did go pick up, takeout sushi the other night. And when I walked in, I got I'm picking up. I'm not sitting down. Do you see this bag? Shut up!
And by the way, how much was the sushi?
Oh, that's the other thing. It's like $182, and you have a bag the size. It's really of a sanitary napkin. You bring it out. You can only hold it with two fingers. You carry it out like you carry a diaper out, really. And it's like, it really makes you realize how expensive sushi is. It all fits inside. You could fit it inside of a hat. A baseball hat, which you carry out there for $100, but yeah. Sorry, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, Chad.
Lisa, how you doing?
I'm good. I actually had sushi last night too that I took out.
Expensive?
No, actually no.
Really?
But that was my experience. I don't eat raw fish, so.
Oh.
But it was fun. It was great.
Well, I guess we shan't be going out.
I think I saw one of the Nelson brothers in there.
Did you, Gunner?
I think that's who it was, but I didn't want to bother him. But anyway.
How did you know? Who cared? Did there need to be two of those guys?
Yeah, they're cute.
Did they go the thank you very much thing when you walked in?
Oh, gozaimasu. No.
Lisa
Lam!
Yes.
Did you say itadakimasu? I said, domo arigato gozaimasu.
Very good. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, dude, quiet.
Hold on. This guy probably wants to ask you out, I'm guessing.
No, sorry, Chad. Go ahead.
America Chindesca.
Wow.
Oh, I did the same thing. I live in Palm Springs, though, and I had takeout sushi a few nights ago.
This is exciting stuff.
I know. So are you coming to the show? I think Morongo Casino is near Palm Springs, and it's at 7 o'clock, so you can still eat more Japanese food after the show.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd love to go.
Awesome.
And your question,
can you,
Chad?
Can you give me a laminate? I'll be there in a minute.
It's a free show.
Dude.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be there. Hey, Lisa, I was just curious. I heard a snippet on the news a while back. You were on The View.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess Hasselbeck, I don't know her first name.
Elizabeth.
Had a meltdown, and you were in between two of them, and...
Yes, that's enough to get us going.
Yeah. That's true.
Uncomfortable.
Actually, the part that was difficult, it was kind of like being on Politically Incorrect, only mm-hmm. it's not. It's The View.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was we were talking about the morning after pill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have very strong opinions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to let other people give their opinions and not just cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of hard to get a word in edgewise, basically.
It's like if a caller was calling in to ask a question, the host went off about sushi for 10 minutes. That would be poor decorum.
Exactly. And then maybe the guest would freak out and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So Lisa ended up sitting in your lap.
Who was at fault, though? Was it Elizabeth, or was it Barbara, or who? Were both of them at fault, in your opinion?
I don't think at fault is... I think what happened was Elizabeth has a very strong point of view.
Mm-hmm.
She is still learning how to express herself.
Right. Well, she's
exactly.
32.
You know,
give her
and
time.
Also she's
give her
very,
time.
No, but she's very passionate about her views, and she's very conservative about her views. And there aren't a lot of people like that you see on television.
Mm.
Anyway, so she was going on and on and on and on, and at a certain point, everybody wanted to give their opinion. I don't think it helped when I said, don't you think your point of view is a little extreme? That sort of freaked
her
out.
To her.
Yeah.
I enjoy when people have a ton of passion but a shortage of verbiage. So it's like, with guys, it just comes out in the form of the F word over and over again. I don't effing give a good God effing F, you know, but look at me. But women, they start crying, which is they just go like, oh, I could see her wanting to explode, but she didn't have the words to back her up, so just the tears.
And then Barbara got the word in her ear, like, we got to wrap it up. And so nobody could get a word in, so finally Barbara said, wrapped it up. And I think it came out as being cutting Elizabeth off.
Mm-hmm.
But well, Barbara did have a good point, which was, you know, we should be able to discuss things with each other and not yell about it, like actually discuss things with each other.
Yeah, I know.
And that wasn't really happening.
I think we have we have that queued up. Do we have that?
Yep. These kinds of issues arouse the strongest emotions.
My heart is like almost out of my chest right now. That's how strongly. I feel very strongly about this. And I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people feel this way. I feel as though, and I believe that life begins at the moment of conception and when that egg is fertilized. To me, it's the same thing as birthing a baby and leaving it on the street.
Oh, I think that is so extreme.
No different.
A lot of people feel the way you do, like, too.
Mm-hmm. Let us say it is somebody who is raped mm-hmm. by a sex pervert. Mm-hmm. Let us say that it's a young woman who was raped by her father. And your totally ruined.
Mm-hmm. And in 72 hours,
you see no circumstances at all.
I wish that this were created just for special circumstances. There are a lot of areas of gray between the yay and the nay on this subject.
I'm saying
in relationship to that argument, okay? In relation to that argument. Under those circumstances of extremity where maybe rape or maybe incest, does that life then not have value?
Well, that's the question.
That's the debate. I believe that life still does have value.
All right. I love that one, too.
And so forth and so on.
I love when you get into it with those sanctimonious blowhards, whether it's about abortion, and this is not an abortion pill.
No, this like keeps the egg and the sperm
The egg from implanting. We've talked, you know, Dr. Drew and I, as you know from being a guest on the show many years ago, Lisa, have been talking about the morning after pill for 10 years, and no one's been talking about it. No one's been listening. People think the morning after pill is RU486, and then there's a whole bunch of this, and it's such a cop-out when the government does that. Hey, let's wait till we hear this. What the scientists have to say from the FDA. We don't want to peddle any data. Dangerous prescription drugs to anybody, Lord knows. It's perfectly safe. It's just a combination of birth control pills. People have been using the same birth control pills for 45 years. There's been no ill effects from them, and they've been using it in Europe for 1,000 years, and there's no problem at all. The government knows full well there's no danger to these pills. There's just political pressure that's put on them, and all the Walmarts and all the other big, you know, Christian right groups and places that pharmacists don't want to carry it because of the political ramifications, not because of the danger part of it.
Right. I mean, I definitely, as I said on the show, I don't think that it's a plan B. You know, people should be educated about contraception by listening to the sex shows and whatever else they can. I mean, unfortunately, they don't teach it enough in the schools, but people should know about contraception. But if they get into a situation where they need to take advantage of safe, you know, safe plan B pills, mm-hmm. morning after pills, then they should be able to do that.
Of course. And
I
can't.
Body.
Well, the government is there to decide and to figure out and use the FDA, which are scientists, everybody. They're mm-hmm. not clergy. They're goddamn scientists. Decide whether it's safe or not. And then once it's safe, we'll decide whether we need it or not. Don't make a whole lot of decisions based on the teachings of your religion. Just decide whether it's safe or not. That's your job. The other part of this is I hate it when blowhards pull this card. I'm sorry, but I believe that lives are important. Yeah.
I think lives are terrible.
I don't
kill
even,
them all.
I drive right through schoolyards all the way home. I don't even stay on city streets. I plow right through special needs kids all the way home.
Right.
How dare you, by the way, suggest that we don't think life is precious or important? I can't stand that. And it's also that slippery slope thing. Oh, this is no different than leaving a baby out on the street. Well, then you're insane. If that's what you truly believe, then you're clinically insane. If you think taking a couple of pills after a one-night stand is exactly the same as taking a newborn and putting them out in the street, then you're sort of beyond insane. You're actually dangerous and should be locked up at this. Of course you don't believe that. You're lying.
Right.
You're either lying or you're insane. And it's the same people that talk about the physician-assisted suicide. I don't care if the guy is in advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease. It doesn't matter. He's going to choke on his own spittle overnight and die a horrible death. No different than snuffing out a perfectly healthy teenage boy.
Right.
No
it
difference.
It comes
no
back
difference.
To your choice. It comes back to your choice.
But if you believe that, you're nuts, and nobody ever calls them on that. They go, okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion. No, you're effing insane.
Well, Lisa, I thought you handled yourself with much grace and dignity, but I'm curious, when The View went to commercial,
yes,
what went down?
It was people, I mean, the discussion still continued, but it wasn't a discussion. It was like a heated argument.
Slow down. I'm getting erect. Oh. Keep going.
And then what happened was...
So Elizabeth did what?
We all went backstage.
What was popping out of her chest?
Well, her heart was popping out of her chest.
I didn't think she had one based on her comments.
Must have gotten hot.
So it went hot in there. It did. It really did.
And then what happened was
we all came back out and tried to make peace in front of the camera. Yeah. But it was a difficult situation because everybody has so much to say and there's four women there in like 2 minutes to speak. So it was a little bit, it was not politically incorrect. We did not have that kind of freedom to really get into it.
Well, speaking of politically incorrect, Dave.
Hey, Adam, I'm glad I got on before everybody got all wound up.
Too late, yeah. You got a question for Lisa?
Yeah, I'm wondering what she think if she herself can forgive Mel Gibson for what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to hear it? Can we hear it? No. If I forgive Mel Gibson for his anti-Semitic remarks...
Are you Jewish?
I am Jewish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am Jewish. And I just feel bad because he's an alcoholic and he needs to take care of that. And I don't personally know Mel Gibson. I don't know what to tell him to do. I think people tell the truth when they get super wasted like that.
I do too. And here's my only defense of Mel Gibson. I'm not religious, as you could probably tell from my last rant, and I don't like to defend religious folks, especially Mel Gibson. It seems like a little bit of a... I don't mind people that are very pious or religious as long as they walk the walk and talk
exactly.
the talk. It's when the guy's cranked out his eighth illegitimate kid and he's talking to his priest about and he's thanking God all the time, but he's popped out another kid with another chick he hasn't married yet. Then that guy, then he's just a hypocrite. And I don't like hypocrites. And a lot of people hide behind religion. Mel Gibson probably does a fair amount of that himself. But I do know this, and I will defend him by saying I have had a few friends that got drunk and blacked out. So there's a certain percentage of alcoholics that will black out when they drink. And when you black out, you are essentially insane for the time that you're blacked out. I've had these friends want to go back. Yeah.
I don't think people's opinions change.
Yes, they do.
Isn't it based on the bank of information that's already stored in their head, or is that like a robot?
I know. It makes perfect sense to say, look, this guy got loaded and his lips got loosened up a little bit. It's just you never had the guts to call your mother-in-law fat when you were sober, but she's clearly fat, and now you've had a few.
But you would never black out and announce, you know what? I hate cars. I hate automobiles, and I hate swinging a hammer, and I would
hate
never
boobs.
All the things I love.
You would never do that.
And I have one more question.
Well, I'm not done, but go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I can't. If he was that drunk, he was driving in a blackout. That even makes me even more.
No,
I don't think
point.
I can forgive that, being that drunk and driving.
Well, here's the thing. It's a subset of people that are alcoholics or have that gene who do black out when they drink, and they can drive home, get themselves into bed, tuck themselves in, and go to bed, and then wake up the following morning and have no recollection of how they got home or how they got undressed or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
That's like me with Ambien. I wake
yes.
up with like crumbs on my face. What's this? Oh, that was that cherry pie I ate out of the freezer.
That's
I didn't know.
That's not hollandaise sauce.
Hey, Lisa Loeb up on stage, everybody. Number one single, the number one G-string. Jade, stage five, stage five. Ah, blah, 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 blah. She's an ambient blackout. Hey, quit your grin and drop your lady. Get those singles out, fellas. We don't know how long she's going to ride this bus. First crack for the guy in the fanny pack. That's me.
By the way.
No, it's true.
Mike Dawson, if you're listening, I think you might want to get a prescription.
That's right. Drop one right in the Zima and let it go to work. Yeah. I was only saying I am not defending Mel Gibson, and I don't know if he was among the small percentage of people who do black out, who are alcoholics and black out. But there's a percentage of alcoholics who do, and like I said, because I've had these friends, they want to go. I had a friend, Rudy. He wanted to go back into Tijuana. He wanted to get the rest of the troops out of Tijuana. He was trying to get in his car and go for the border. We had to tackle him. I mean, these people need to be restrained oftentimes, and they're just crazy, delusional. And I don't know if that was him, but that's his only viable excuse, is that he was blacked out and saying insane things.
Which then is good, because then it brings to everybody's attention, once again, racism and anti-Semitism, and people can, you know, look at themselves and see what they really believe and try to work through that.
Ironically called blacked out. Heavy. Not Jewed out.
Yes.
Blacked out. I say we modify to Jewed out if you just go on a jag about the Jews. Lisa, God bless you. I know you have to go do, are you doing the KTLA morning show?
I'm going to go speak to Sam Rubin. But yeah, come to the show, what is it, Friday night?
Well, I would
Morongo
be.
Morongo Casino.
Oh, that's Friday night,
Friday,
right?
7 o'clock.
Friday, 7 o'clock, free show, acoustic show over at the Key Club. And I would go to the Poseidon, but I don't want to be a third wheel with you and Dawson.
Come to Poseidon. It's going to be fun. We're doing a group. Yeah. We're going to do a group thing.
Netflix. That's a bad sign. Lisa Loeb will be there.
A group thing.
At the Queen Mary in Long Beach, 8 o'clock this Thursday. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Always a delight. We'll be right
see
back
soon.
After this.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, the tears. The tears have started.
Laughing at her tears. Adam Carolla was laughing at her tears. Teresa Strasser was leaking water from her eyes and almost drowned the crew.
Rolling in his
stare. I can't help it. But Adam didn't care. He was too busy laughing with every tear she seemed to shed. The more his gums were flapping, he was like a hyena smoking crack. When Teresa cries, well, that's when Adam starts to laugh.
That's funny, that's why. Well, it was uncomfortable. People react differently.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, I also was laughing as I was crying. And secondly, that afternoon, I call my dad because, you know, I need comfort. And I and my dad was, he could hardly get out a word because he thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard. And he was like, I know, I knew you were hurting, but it was really funny. And he understood. People get uncomfortable and they laugh.
All right. Yes, I that's the way I cope with pain.
Right. And also, it was funny.
If you'd like me to come to a funeral or wake or anything and laugh it up, I'll gladly do that.
As long as it's not your pain, yes.
I laugh at others. Right. Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, talk about a blackout. You guys mentioned yesterday that I took out Mike Lynch as I was trying to get out the door, and I don't remember that at all.
Well, you were like one of those mothers whose child was trapped under a station wagon. He had the strength of 10 newswomen. Mike, not a substantial man, mostly beard, really. And Mike's one of these guys that he looks like he goes 2 bells, but he really only 130 pounds. And you just stood up and knocked him over. He was in
his
stool.
Was he actually over?
You know,
he
was trying to comfort you. He's like, oh, come on.
He hit the ground.
He was trying to comfort you, and you plowed him. You're like Jim Brown.
So sorry.
It was true, and you'll be hearing from my lawyer.
I'm so sorry. Lycus is making me feel better.
All right. We need to move forward first. Just a little unfinished business. Lisa Loeb left. Dawson still convinced that she's interested and will be going out with him.
What say you?
Well, a deal breaker, and I feel bad as I brought up his weed consumption, that he explained to me that he had a bong that was essentially a two-man mini sub that he, can you hear me?
Uh-uh.
All right. Does that work okay? I'm sorry, my mic went weird. I said he had a bong that was like a two-man mini sub that him and his roommate
for the record, right,
had to crawl into.
As Dawson just said, that was... See, that's the, that what, the mic going out is Dawson.
Oh, that's
chiming
Dawson.
In.
I thought it was a drop. Dawson, no,
Dawson's
please.
Dawson's chiming in. Let Adam talk. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you.
So go home and get your f***ing shine box.
That's right. When it becomes the Dawson McHesher Show, then you can jump in. But Lisa told our beautiful Teresa Strasser that she had a bad experience with a stoner.
Yeah, I got the feeling that once you've dated a stoner, you don't want to do it again.
I'll tell you this, and Teresa knows because she's dated a few in her day. Tell me if this is right. Here's what I suspect. Booze makes guys, you know, sort of dangerous but exciting. Passionate lovemaking, violent mood swings, all that kind of stuff. Other drugs, other addictions, whether it's gambling or pills, turns guys, you know, they get all over. But women kind of enjoy the exciting ride of it. Weed is like, oh, you want to perform oral on me. Let me finish Ren and Stimpy, and then I'll think about it. First, I gotta eat. It makes guys ambivalent. It takes the wind out of their sails, and there's nothing a woman hates more than just ambivalence. They rather have a guy who's making passionate love to them and then cheating with their friends every once in a while, rather than a guy's just kind of hanging loose, like, I don't know, whatever you want to do. When they get that sort of flopping in the wind, that weed does that. It takes the starch out of your collar. It just kind of makes you agreeable. Women say they want that, but they really don't.
Ambivalence is not sexy. And then it bleeds into the rest of their lives. Then they're ambivalent about going to work. Mm-hmm. They're ambivalent about paying their parking tickets. They're ambivalent about showing up on time. And
it's the reason guys like a dog and not a cat. When you walk through the door, you want tails wagging and, hell boy, come here, buddy. You want that rather than the cat that just looks up at you and puts its head back down. When a guy's smoking a lot of weed, that's just it. You come home from work, he looks at you from the sofa and settles back into it.
Yeah. Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
And you also start thinking about the long term. And you think, is this the guy that I want to be the father
of
my children?
But I'll say this in Dawson's defense. I think that was a long time ago.
Yes.
Back when he was a gaucho at UCSB. And whether he smokes weed or not now is inconsequential because he shows up every morning at 4 a.m. ready to go.
And I told
Stoned
Lisa
off
that.
His ass, up all night, but ready to go.
I told her, I said, he's always here and on time, and she was impressed with that.
Okay. Well, maybe there's some love. And he announced with great confidence that she will be attending the Avocado Festival with him this year, which I find hard to believe. And the part that's even harder to believe is that he expected we all knew what the Avocado Festival was, like he was talking about Cal Jam or Woodstock or Pale Hawk or something. Oh, the Avocado Festival.
Guacapalooza.
I got to get a laminate for that, baby. I got to get backstage at the Avocado Festival. I hand to God, this year I will win the guacamole stomp. I will win it.
Who's headlining? Anyone?
I have no idea.
Hey, 20th anniversary this year. I'm looking at it online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Years.
Dawson, you got 10 seconds to defend yourself.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's just our headphones. Yeah, that was back in
college. No, he can't. You can't hear him.
No, you got to come in.
You can't hear anything.
Yeah. Okay, right. What he said was,
he's
and
a
thir- I quote,
he's a 33-year-old man that used totally nine rad. Times out of 11 words. I'll tell you this much. If Lisa Loeb attends the Avocado Festival with you coming up in whatever month it's in, Dawson, I will undergo a sex change.
Really?
Yes, it's not even, I'll put $100 on it, or I'll give you an automobile. I will
make
become
a real
woman.
One. Make a real one. You're I'm, not going to have
no,
a sex change.
I am serious. I will become a woman. I am deadly serious to that.
I missed that. Wow. Say it again, please.
If Lisa Loeb attends the Guacamole Festival with you, I will undergo a sex change and become a woman. I'll become Adrian Carolla.
How about just paying my rent?
No. Oh. All right, let's do some news. What do you say, T?
Let's. John Mark Carr headlining the Avocado Festival this year. he is a good singer.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
He does. Come on, it's getting under your skin.
It really is. He has an angelic singing voice, if nothing else. Now, yesterday, in a brief appearance in court, he did not fight extradition to Colorado, so he'll be on his way.
He sung his plea, though.
Yeah.
I'm innocent. I'm innocent.
Unfortunately, his lawyer spoke for him, saying that he was waiving extradition, but the judge didn't.
I'm waving. Yes, I'm waving.
The Sorry. Judge recited a few charges, including first-degree murder, first-degree kidnapping, second-degree kidnapping, and sexual assault on a child.
I was talking to Lisa Loeb's wrangler out there, and she was saying how creepy this guy was. And I said, I rarely say this, but if, in fact, he did murder and rape a six-year-old, he would be marginally less creepy. He's actually more creepy now that he's just the guy who may have done this, who's bragged about it, who's fantasized about it. At least I could put him in a creepy category in my mind of just murder, pedophile, whatever it is. I swear to God, his stock would go up if it turned out he was the guy who did it. And that means you're starting pretty low, by the way, when it turns out you're guilty.
If he did do it, right?
If he did do it, his stock would go up just a little bit in the Ace Man's book.
Well, his former lawyer who repped him back in 2001 when he pled guilty on child pornography charges, that was right before he skipped town, told the press that John Mark Carr marches to the beat of a different drummer.
That's right.
But is intelligent and engaging, and perhaps that's one of those cliches which, when it's used about you, actually means something horrible.
Yes, yes, that's like a girl having a cute personality.
Yes, he marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Yes, that's that means pedophile, and the cute personality means fat. And hold on, Lenny LeBlanc is on the phone. Lenny?
Yeah.
Lenny, you are the singer of this song?
Yeah, the singer and the co-writer.
Wow.
Now let's hear the original 1978 version, if we have that. He hasn't aged a second.
This is the real Mr. LeBlanc.
Now, is this you starting it?
Yeah, it is.
So was it weird for you watching Entertainment Tonight and all the news shows? And
well, I actually didn't see it, but a friend of my wife saw it, and she called, and she said, "You're never going to guess what I just heard."
Are you proud?
Well, you know, it's sort of strange, really, you know.
It's a nice song.
It's nice, yeah. And how does it work with ASCAP? Do you get a taste? Can you wet your beak on this one?
Yeah,
I'm just saying it's a tragedy, but, you know.
Make sure you guys have it in your log now. When you log
BMI. Oh, we will.
Yeah, this is as bad as his time as Jeffrey Dahmer was singing Hell is for Children, one of my favorite Pat Benatar songs. It broke my heart. This is my number one karaoke song now. I will be bringing this one out next karaoke just to creep out the crowd.
Now, when this came out, it reached number 11 on the charts. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was actually a huge song because it stayed in the charts for 27 weeks. So it was number one in every major market, but it took so long to get there, it never showed in the actual chart position. So it was a lot bigger record than it appeared.
Well, that would explain some things because we were looking it up, and I was saying, well, this, I'm old enough to remember, this was a definite hit on the radio, and it was around for a long time, but it didn't chart or charted. It didn't make the top 10 or whatever, but yet it was played everywhere.
Right.
And you'll be glad to know, Lenny, that it was the Ace Man and the Ace Man only who watched this on Entertainment Tonight and said, aha, I know this song, and then made it my life's work to seek it out. Actually, my life's work to tell Angie to go get it.
Well, where is your... you performed with LeBlanc and Carr. This
right.
is obviously John Mark Carr.
No, it wasn't John Mark Carr. It was Pete Carr.
Pete Carr. Now, where is your car?
Pete Carr is here in North Alabama where I live, and he's not really no longer involved in the music industry, though.
So this is 1978. Take us back now. You have a huge hit with this song, and you said it goes number one and stays on the charts for 6 months or so.
Yeah.
What's next? You guys are touring. You're coming out with another record. When did it end?
Well, when we went on the road, Pete decided he didn't like touring.
Puss.
So I did all the major TV shows, and back then it was the Midnight Special and American Bandstand and all those television shows. And so I got another guitar player, and so I was touring as LeBlanc and Carr, but there really was no LeBlanc and Carr. So when that record sort of ended, I became a solo artist and did a record for Capitol. Had a few chart singles on it, and then I took a life change. I became a Christian, and my music sort of changed. I had a different message, same style of music, and now I'm a contemporary Christian artist for the last 20 years.
So you gave up the Muslim faith and became a Christian. And so, Lenny, have you gotten other calls about this song other than from family members?
No, just that one friend, and until you guys call.
Well, but now that Pete Carr's out of the picture, once Mark Carr beats his bum rap, you're back together.
You don't have to say the first name. It's LeBlanc and Carr, and you're back on the road. I think he knows the words.
You changed one letter. Now, would you consider playing the Avocado Festival?
The Avocado Festival.
That's my point exactly. Well, Lenny, we appreciate it. Could you sing along with John Mark Carr, if you could?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay. All right.
You don't want to duet with a possible child murderer?
But it's not that bad. You got to admit, he didn't butcher the song,
he didn't butcher the song.
Oh. All right, Lenny, get back to the Bible.
right. See you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Listen, Lenny is no name for a born again.
What's
just doesn't work. I don't know. It doesn't. It just
Pat.
Doesn't scream credibility. Pat solid, or you could just go with Leonard right. or something. Lenny just seems like Lenny and Squiggy. Wow, that's what I love about doing radio.
I'm impressed.
1 minute you got a glass of wine, your two twins, your old lady in front of the TV set, and you're obsessing using your TiVo over a song that a pedophile's singing. The next minute you're talking to the now turned Christian rocker Lenny LeBlanc.
This is a magical day, I think, for all of us.
Song it's growing on everyone, yeah.
I love the song now.
All right.
If I ever get married, I'm going to get LeBlanc.
I will sing it at your wedding.
You will sing it?
I will sing it. And again, Move Over, Hell is for Children. New number one. New number one karaoke song for the
Ace
Men.
Okay, well, I'm guessing we've run out of time for the rest of the news. Ruska?
You can do one more.
Okay, well, let me continue
on
this.
For the week.
Because I can't get enough creepy for the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you've probably heard. I played one of these tapes yesterday on the show of a conversation between John Mark Carr and a friend of his from Petaluma, California. Now, these tapes were all over all of the cable news outlets. No one can independently verify their authenticity, but
I'll tell you one thing I can verify.
Yeah.
We have a horrible copy of this because I heard it on the news and it was clear as a bell.
This one's a little bit better.
Thank God.
It is equally creepy.
I have held little girls in just about every way you could imagine.
Really? Oh, I must be
held them. But I've watched fathers in public hold those same little girls in the same every way that I have. I've kissed little girls in the mouth.
Yeah.
Dave actually most of the time initiated the kiss.
They started it.
I'm telling you, I have already started training my dog to sniff out pedophiles.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they can do it. They can smell out backyard produce or weed at the airport or TNT, whatever it is. They can smell pedophiles.
Well,
I'm training my dog. I'm not going to tell you how.
In the last bit of John Mark Carr news, not surprisingly, a friend of the Carr family says that Carr's mother tried to kill him as a toddler.
No.
Now, here's... I smell a reenactment. You guys will have to tell me maybe for another day. But the mom wrapped some kindling around a young Carr. He was maybe 2-3 years old. And she was about to set the kindling and the child on fire when Carr's older brother stopped her. The mother was eventually put in a mental hospital where, and she died 6 years ago. I'm not sure if she died in the mental hospital. But.
Well, sad, and as I've said many times, I'm an atheist, sort of a Darwinist who just says, well, now he's got to be put down. Sad. This is what happens. To be honest and serious for a second, these guys get abused and then they go on and abuse. You don't grow up in a loving family with two nurturing parents and decide it's a good idea to do whatever you want to do to six-year-old girls or boys or whatever it is. You get diddled and then you go on to diddle. It is sad, but it's the reason, A, why we have to recognize it and keep track of these people who are abused, because they were yesterday's victim is today's victimizer. So let's not pretend like these people don't go on and do this. Obviously, something has been broken. Something has been short-circuited in their wiring for you to think it's a good idea to do this to others. And basically the only way that happens is if it was done to you. So the mom needs to be put down, and I'll guarantee the mom was diddled by somebody, because in order for you to think it's a good idea to wrap your kid up in a sterno log when he's three, somebody did something horrible to you. That's why we need to stop. A, the guy has three kids. You understand how this works? He has three goddamn kids now with someone who thought it'd be a good idea to lay down with this creepy pedophile. So now he has three kids. Now they'll have the opportunity to do horrible things to other people. I say we tag them and keep an eye on them, but we need to put the mom down. We need to put him down. We need to start putting everyone down and starting. It's like when a group of cattle gets infected with the bird flu or whatever the hell they get, bovine, you know, a mad cow disease or something. Got to put them down. Sorry. Be nice. Be nice if we could cure them. Can't. Start anew. Thank you. The more you know.
The more you know. If your mom tries to set you on fire, there's a high likelihood that you will grow up damaged.
That's right. To sing at your friend's weddings. Dave?
Hello?
Dave, sports?
Sports, Dave?
Do it, do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm falling, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports.
do it, Dave?
My father and his brothers tried to set a kid on fire when they were in their neighborhood when they were growing up.
It was a different time.
Mischievous.
He's setting his ways.
Hey, before anything else, happy birthday to my lovely bride, Miss Cindy.
Oh, are you doing anything today. Special?
She's going to watch Dave watch TiVo.
I think, yes, we're on our way to the Bay Area to celebrate her birthday. It's become, now this is year two of an annual tradition. San Francisco, the best city there is.
It is great.
Yes. With the best lady there is.
Your mom.
Wait, I got to rework those rankings. Anyway, listen, sweet heavens, you know, the wait is almost over now. 8 days away from football games that count, college football, and a mere 8 days, I've just been notified for my fantasy football draft. East Coast League, not the West Coast one, but still.
I thought we're calling it fairy tale football. It's more humiliating.
Creep.
Has the word fairy in it.
National pastime. I think the Dodgers better do themselves a favor and avoid San Diego whenever possible. It's apparently kryptonite to them. They've lost 10 of the last 11 games against the Padres. Now, they lost last night 1-0 in a pitcher's duel. Their lead is now down to 2 games over the Padres. Gigantics, meantime, beat the Snakes Arizona over on the junior circuit. Halo's playing good ball. 5 in a row for them. They beat the Bostons last night. Mariners gave the trident to the evil Empire Yanks, and the first place A's were put down by the Jays. Here's something weird. Portland Trailblazers, they're trying to take a new path, a righteous path. You know, a lot of criminals on their team in the last decade or so. So they draft this guy, Marcus Aldridge, great ball player from Texas, and he needs to have shoulder surgery. So they're shipping him down to L.A. for the surgery. Mm-hmm. Listen, if this doctor's an L.A. fan...
Mm. Oh, I see what you're
mess
saying.
Mess that up.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, if you're a Trailblazers fan, don't you want this happening up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I could see it now.
This seems bogus to me.
Really, you sew in a folding chair right into the joint. Yes, that's what
it.
I learned in medical school.
Yeah, folding cutting chair. Edge technology. You wouldn't understand that up in Oregon,
that's
but this
right.
is on the edge. Now, you're talking about creepy things. How about this? You know, Arizona Cardinals have a new state-of-the-art stadium, you know, dome thing, retractable, and the grass. Have you seen this thing? The grass grows outside the stadium, and then when it's time for game time, the entire field is sucked inside the stadium. It's
really?
Awesome. Yes, they roll it in.
They pick it up and move it like
it slides in.
Is
the entire
it
outside field
is to outside. Get the sunshine?
Yep. Wow. And then it slides in. It's really cool. Designed by architectural wonder Frank Gehry. This cool thing, this big, looking structure. It's fantastic. Guess what they're thinking of naming it? The sponsor? This is absolutely true. Pink Taco Stadium.
What?
They have a tentative deal, apparently, with Pink Taco, the restaurant in Vegas, and apparently other places, too.
I've never seen it anywhere but the Hard Rock.
Pink Taco Stadium.
Wow.
This is it. This is the end of society.
Are we still
if they
naming
name
Teresa?
A stadium.
We name it Teresa's Parts?
Could it be more convenient
it's
that it's in the Valley of the Sun?
It's a little on the nose.
In the Valley of the Sun, no less?
Wow.
It's perfect.
Is that outrageous or what? $30 million, 10-year deal to name the stadium Pink Taco. I have a hunch that they're going to back out of this. The mayor of Glendale, which is a suburb of Arizona, of Phoenix, is a woman, and I have a hunch that she signed this deal not knowing what Pink Taco meant. Yes?
Yeah. Well, you know, 10 years ago, they wouldn't celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday, and we're a little tight about that. Seems like they've swung a little too far the other direction. Now it's time to reel it in a little, Arizona.
Pink Taco Stadium!
All right. Wake up, Blue.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
You know, sound effects guy Brian is not only a sound effects guy, but he's a fan of the show. Sometimes just acts
sit
like he's a
listen.
Listener. Yeah. Yeah. He works at a place where he gets to wear headphones and listen to the show. It's great. We will have Dave's jerk report. Wait 1 second. Patrick?
Yes.
You were molested as a kid?
Yes, sir. Yes, I was.
And you grew up?
What's that?
You grew up just fine?
Grew up perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with me whatsoever. Slight, you know. If something like that happens to me, they're going to have psychological damage. There's no way you can avoid that. But leading a wonderful life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Under my new regime, you'll have to be destroyed.
Well, who molested you, if I might ask?
I was just saying that not everybody that has something like that happen to them as a child turns out to be a child molester.
No, but you know what it's like? It's like the Muslims. It's like, well, not all of them are terrorists. No, just a sort of scary percentage are, and that's enough because of the damage they can inflict, what a small percentage can inflict. No, it's true. Not everybody turns out to be that way, and you're certainly one that didn't, but an alarmingly high percentage does, and the damage they can do is horrific. What, and again, that's why you'll have to be put down, Patrick. What happened? who did this to you?
When I was a child, I was like 5 years old. My uncle actually would diddle me. And 5 years old, you don't know what's really going on.
Right.
And eventually I ended up telling my mother about it, but my mother was also screwed up in the head, and she tried to commit suicide multiple times.
Tom, please, this is not funny.
It really wasn't that great, but at the same time, you know, some people just don't have the mental capacity to be able to put stuff behind them.
Right, but when you say diddled by your uncle, does that mean diddled or does that mean sodomized?
No sodomizing going on there.
That's good things. Okay, Tom.
Yeah.
Hold on, we got bleeped out for play with yourself?
What about touch yourself?
He made me touch myself. Did
that
get
all right, Tom. That, again, that's not funny.
It's not so bad.
Here's the thing. I was playing with myself at age 5. I didn't care who was in the room. It was just a perk if an uncle was in the room, quite honestly. All right, Patrick. That is, the other thing is his degree.
Yes, that's important.
I mean, the diddling.
Duration and degree.
Degree and duration. You do not wish that upon both great deodorant names, by the way. You do not wish that upon anybody, but there are much worse things you can do to a kid, and as many of you know, I'm not going to get into detail. But good, Patrick. You landed on your feet, and all is well to Patrick House. We need to take ourselves a little break. Dave's got his jerk list coming up. Also, Ozzy is going to be in here because we're giving away some... Oh, I don't even know if he's going to be in here. We're just going to be giving away some Rolling Stones tickets. Let's do that, and then let's do Dave's jerk list, all right? Also, Perez Hilton, is he going to be on?
Tomorrow.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back to give away some Rolling Stones tickets using our fabulous friend Ozzy.
So people can call in.
Oh, yes. 866... I feel like it's implied. You want Rolling Stones tickets. You got to do the number math.
Sorry.
But T, no, you're right. You're right, baby. Call in 866-901-ADAM. Get those Stones tickets and then the jerk list. All coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Sounds a little like is there? All right, should we just start at the top? Yes, you should be a fan, because there are plenty of fans who don't get to go to see the game, to see the concert.
I sat at the Super Bowl next to a couple of guys who were talking to each other. Is everybody cheering that the ball got touched down at the one, when they punted it and it got touched down at the 1-yard
line? Well, the Super Bowl is probably, if the stadium holds 80,000, 50,000 are blowhard Fox executives who don't give a rat's hiney about whoever, or worse yet. And here's what I hate to do, and I want you to put a bullet in me if I do this with my young son. I don't like to see the 9-year-olds dragged to the things that they could never appreciate. It makes me want to puke, especially when I think back on my own childhood, when the only place I went was to the Lawry's Seasoning Factory out in Eagle Rock, California. That was considered a large field trip for the A's, man. There's nothing worse than something you've waited your whole life to get to, whether it be a concert, a Super Bowl, some event, you know, coveted tickets, and you see the dad with his 7-year-old, and the 7-year-old couldn't be less interested in what's going on in the field.
I can't support that since I went several AFC playoff games when I was 8 and 9 years of age at Three River Stadium.
Did you bring a terrible towel?
I did.
Okay. Brad?
Yes, sir.
They'd have a terrible tampon for the ladies. Swing
what
that
is a
over
terrible
their head.
Towel?
Ah, well, that's too long a story. Don't get him. I'll be happy to get him going in a little bit.
And don't get him singing the song.
Yeah, you know, Ace, why don't you climb him up on those Steelers? Because, you know, the Rams are going to the Super Bowl this year.
Right? Yeah, go Rams.
Sorry.
You know it, man.
I can't hear you. I've got five Super Bowl trophies stuffed in my ears.
But is he a Rolling Stones fan? That's the question.
We'll clean that up in post. Yeah, what were you saying?
Damn.
We need you to do ADR work, though. What's that, T? Sorry.
What we need to know is if this is a true Rolling Stones fan and thus deserves the tickets.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I absolutely am a Rolling Stones fan.
You're right. Well, then this should be a layup for you, Brad. Let's get started with the first.
I hope so.
Let's get started with the first song.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Was Muslim. You in the natural in my game.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's Sympathy for the Devil.
Yes.
Sí, es bueno.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
All right, you ready to move on? Again, you get 3 for 3. You're going to see the Stones.
All right, let's do it.
All right, number two.
Wu Kol Hang and I am you. Will you change me every new day? Still, I am going to miss you.
Mm.
That's well done, Ozzy. Miss you, I believe.
No, it's malo.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong? Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, Ruby Tuesday.
Damn, Brad.
Oh, that's killing me.
And Brad, you're a custodian?
Yes,
so you could never afford those tickets.
I can't.
Wow. This is breaking my heart.
It breaks my heart. And, I thought it was missing you, too.
I did, too.
Well, yeah. That was a tough one. Yesterday you did 2 out of 3. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But we did yesterday.
Yeah,
and
he's
a Rams fan like you, Carolla.
Let's give him 2 out of 3. Oh. Can we change the rules?
Well, yesterday's a Beatles song. And
It seems so far away.
Sorry, Brad. Rules are rules. Let's move on to... Isaac. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I punched him up. Isaac, you there?
Yeah, this is Bill.
Oh, Bill. Well, hell, we'll play with Bill. You ready to go, Bill?
Yeah, I'm ready, Adam.
Let's do it.
Do it up.
I see the girl wash my dresses in the summer clothes. I have to tour my head until my darkness goes.
Mm-hmm.
Summer romance.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and hang up now. I think it was painted black, yes. Was it not?
I'm guessing.
All right. Yeah. There it is. I don't know. It's 3 for 3. Too tall in order.
I say go back to Brad.
Yeah.
Brad's gone.
Oh, he is?
Let's
all right. First one's a 2 right.
Broken.
First one's a 2 right.
When I feel bad. Brad, are you there?
Yeah.
You're still there. Hmm? Brian says no. Brad, is that you?
Brad. He's lying.
Give the guy points for saying yeah.
That was clever.
What's your name, caller?
Mike.
I like your style, Mike.
Evil genius.
You're doing what any one of us would have done if we were thinking straight.
I'm pretty sure his name's not Mike or
now,
Brad.
Now we'll go 2 for 3 with you, Mike. You ready?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, go for it.
Poor Brad's going to fall on his mop and commit Harry Carey.
Brad, if you listen, call tomorrow. He'll give you another chance.
Yeah. Hey, I want to try.
Here we go, Mike.
Oh, a story strange meme. My very life today. If don't get some shelter, oh yeah, I gonna fade away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even understand them.
Oh, this is a hard game.
You don't know it.
No, I don't know.
Adam, did you know it?
Give me shelter.
Yeah. That's my only guess because it had the word shelter.
Right.
Sí, es bueno.
Well, Mike, you can still get 2 in a row and go see the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
No way he's going to get this next one. All right, okay. Let's try it.
When I am driving in my car, I am man coming in the radio. He's reeling me more and more. I was on sell information.
What do you think, Mike?
Man, I'm just lost.
Oh, nice. My God. Oh,
it's Malo.
This guy's not a Rolling Stone fan.
No, that one was a layup.
I think the first clue was that the word shelter was said in the name, and he couldn't come up with that one.
This guy's not a real fan.
All right, should we talk to...
I tell you what, one more person, and if they don't get it, we'll just...
Dustin.
Have more tickets for tomorrow.
Dustin's a meter reader. Dustin?
Yes.
Fantabulous. You ready to go?
Actually, I just got to let you know, I didn't know what the contest was when I called in. Oh, from my best friend. I can't name one song of the Rolling Stones. I'm not a fan.
Mm.
I mean, I'll try it just to try it. I was trying to win them for my best friend. But, you know, I'll try it.
I think we'll try another call. Let's see. Here's a guy I like. Joe, he's a tire man, it says.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening, Joe? What do you do with tires?
Oh, a little bit of everything. You know, alignments, all that good stuff.
Worst superhero ever.
Tire man.
Proper inflation, very important. Yeah, I can see you're passionate about that as well.
Hey, Charlie, man, I'm tired.
I understand. Tired, get it? All right. You ready to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Gimme the honky tonk blues.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh.
Hold on.
Rotate this caller out.
I miss
gimme the honky tonk blues.
Let's not give out the answer. If he can't get it, go to the next guy, and if he gets it, he wins.
Sorry.
He wins. Sorry. I do miss Brad.
We gotta move on.
Gerardo?
Yeah.
You ready?
Gimme the honky tonk blues.
You know what, dude? I'm Mexican. I can't even understand.
Oh, my God. Meter readers and Mexicans. That's all we get on this show. Let's see. Josh will get it. He's an accountant.
Honky tonk women.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
It's bueno.
Josh. Just to make it official, let's do one more song for you.
Okay.
Let's see what we got.
You start me up. You start me up. I never stop.
Start me up.
All right, Josh. You're a relative genius.
Yeah, I grew up in the streets of North Hollywood. You know how it is.
You grew up in North Hollywood, huh?
Oh, sure.
Whereabouts?
Near Colfax and Magnolia, near the high
school. No, it's Malo.
What? I was on Hartsook Street out there.
Really? Yeah, you used to be in Little League with buddies of mine. You were about 2 years behind me.
Mm,
but then you caught up because I was left behind.
Nice.
Did you? Became an accountant.
That's the sign reads on there when you enter North Hollywood. Leave your kids and your troubles behind.
Well, now everything is Toluca Terrace, or they should call themselves not North Hollywood.
Yeah, it's always a bad sign when the city you grew up in has changed its name. Where'd you grow up? North Hollywood. Oh, you mean Valley Village?
Sure.
Well, yeah, that's what you do when the insurance rates get too high.
So many cars have been broken into. We'll be North Hollywood.
Yeah. So what happened? You went to North Hollywood High?
Oh, yeah. And then went on to... you know, Pierce College. You went to that.
And what? I'm telling you, we need to make these maximum security prisons.
13th grade, as you call it.
What did? Yes, it's high school with ashtrays. When did you graduate North Hollywood?
79.
Oh, okay. So
2 years ahead of you.
Just missed you.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Well, you've landed on your feet. Now you're going to land in Dodger Stadium with the Rolling Stones.
Cool. I appreciate that, Adam. Big fan.
Fantastic. Well,
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
All right. Let's do that. Let's regroup. Yesterday, we decided it was too easy. No more 2 out of 3. We got to go 3 for 3.
Wow. That was intense.
Yeah. Tomorrow, you get 3 quarters and you're in. We'll take a break. Dave. Yes, is always
Let's
controversial.
Hope, unless Saboteur Brusca shuts it down again, like he did yesterday.
You have plenty of time for the jerk list. Dave, I'm trying to avoid the jerk list.
Dave's jerk list coming up after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerkless.
The IC's on. There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
Jerkless.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
Yes.
The jerkless.
Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame! You're a jerk! Oh.
The jerkless.
There's too many jerks.
Jerk! Shame! Yes.
The jerkless.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, of course that could mean only one thing. Name that poon. No, the jerk list. And I got to tell you, not only is this one of my wife's favorite bits, probably because it doesn't contain me, but it's one of my favorites as well. And not just because I get to sit back and put my feet up and enjoy my own show.
You haven't made it, as a matter of fact, since you decided to wear your flip-flops in here, which I don't care for.
Which I threw out, by the way, because I got too stinky.
All you had to do was say, then I feel vindicated if you say, I threw him out because I realized you didn't appreciate that and I don't want to be on the jerk list anymore.
Well, you and everyone with nostrils, although you have a prodigious nose and could pick up scent downwind at 400-500 meters. So,
are you sure? That's an insult. Don't you see what I could do now?
I'm sorry, David.
Thank you.
Do not wish me into the cornfield. Proceed with your jerk list.
Let it begin.
Got out of the gate a little bumpy there.
Yeah. Strike two, Corolla. Strike two, Corolla. Let it begin.
There we go.
They had a day to run and hide after Brusca the Saboteur called things off yesterday. No matter. The reckoning is here. I don't know. Anyway.
I like it. Very biblical.
Good. Keep going.
All right. Listen, we could go into John Mark Carr, but I think he's been covered pretty thoroughly by everyone. So, you know what? Throw him one. He deserves one anyway. He's number six. All right. Now, let's move on to the real creeps. All right. First of all, football season's on the brain. I can't wait. But there's a stinker who ruins football, and everybody knows who he is. It's Terrell Owens. He's ruined every team he's ever played on. He's a great. If this continues through the football season, he may well wind up in the jerk hall of shame with Barry Bonds.
Wow. It's going
Listen,
to Canton.
Bill Parcells, you know, wants him to play. The coach of the Cowboys wants him to practice, this and that. Mm-hmm. He says, T.O., here's his response.
I'm very confident in myself and my ability. I don't feel like I have to go out here and prove anything to anybody.
No, you don't have to prove anything to anybody, T.O., do you? No, you've been run out of Philadelphia. Everyone hates you there. Everyone hates you in San Francisco. And by the way, you went in Texas Stadium and stood when you were on the Giants, stood on the in the middle of the star and spiked the football in Dallas. You have nothing to prove to anybody.
When he was on the Niners,
yes,
right?
When you were on the Niners. Your slate is now clean, T.O. Here's a little more from this gem.
What you see is what you get. You know, I think my resume kind of speaks for itself. And I think if no one knows who I am at this point, then you don't know me.
Well, that's a good point. If you don't know who he is,
then you don't know
who he is. And his resume speaks for himself. Exactly the point. Here's what you'd read at the top of your resume. Jerk!
Well, I did like the fact that he got in the Lance Armstrong outfit and pedaled away with the Discovery team on the stationary bicycle. But Bill Parcells must have been PO'd to no end to see the guy screwing around on the sidelines while everyone's out there sweating out two-a-days.
Dressed as though he's in the Tour de France and doesn't get put out of practice by the Cowboys trainer, but by his personal trainer. Yeah, T.O.'s not going to be able to practice today.
Would be fun if you put a Pee Wee Herman outfit on and pedaled away with the bow tie.
See, that would be endearing. There's a good idea.
Yes, he's a jackass, of course.
A little more football for you.
I'm sorry to use that phone!
Here's some more football for you. You know I love it. And a preseason football, though, it feels right. And then it goes wrong. First of all, too many injuries. It ruins the regular season with good players getting hurt. But worse, it's sort of like looking at a Civil War reenactment. You know, it seems real to you. Everything out there. You're like, hey, you go to Gettysburg. You're like, this is where the battle actually took place. And look, there are the Union soldiers there. And then, there are the Confederates. Wait a second. That Confederate general's drinking a Mountain Dew.
Right.
What gives? Preseason football's a jerk.
Yes. All right. I'm with you. It's the methadone that gets me to my heroin illness this season.
All right. Number three, webmaster extraordinaire Mark Chambers brought this one up to me. And then, serendipitously, it happened to me the next day. I pick myself up a nice milkshake. You know, as you may or may not have heard, I have a pie face.
Right.
And this is how you get one, is by drinking milkshakes in the middle of the day. I'm driving in my car. I take a sip. From the straw. Next thing I know, I'm a man of 36 years, by the way. 36 years age. Brain freeze!
Really?
I can't modulate the amount of liquid that goes into my head anymore. It shuts me down, debilitates me while I'm operating a vehicle, no less.
Could've been dangerous.
You know what? My brain is a jerk!
Well, actually...
Make the sound.
What happens, Dave, is the nerves in your tongue cause your blood vessels in your head to dilate. So really, you should make your blood vessels in your head jerks.
What?
It's not your brain.
Brain is a jerk! And you know what, Brian?
What's that?
You are a jerk!
Oh, come on, buddy.
Turn it. Turn the laser on yourself.
3B! Subsection!
Good day! I'll go home and get you.
It is painful to see Brian have to turn the laser on himself.
Yeah, he earned it. Now, let's go. Let's get away from this ugliness for a moment and reward the much coveted get out of jerk free card.
Yes.
I can't speak. I'm
that
on the
brain freeze.
Good thing I already gave my brain a jerk. Now, how about this?
Put down the milkshake.
I went to Dodger Park last week. Getaway day. Wonderful time. You know, by the way, it's one of America's great institutions. Middle of the week, middle of the day, ball game. Everybody takes off work, school, whatever. I went out to Dodger Park, and I baked in the sun. It was sunny. It barely mattered that the Dodgers were obliterated, but I want to give them kudos for their upper deck section. $6 seats. The best kept secret in all of Major League Baseball, in my book. $6 seats. You sit perched high above home plate. You look out to the rolling hills and the palm trees beyond the outfield. Cheers to you, Dodger Park.
$6.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. All the beer you can drink, grilled Dodger dogs. So
Chavez Ravine has the get out of jerk free card here?
That's right. Okay. Yes. Right. A lot of talk about Wrigley Field and Fenway Park and so on and so forth in their bleacher sections, and deservedly so. But this is a nice little gem. Go check it out.
Six bones. Yeah.
Yes. Now, number two, back to the jerks. He came up earlier today. Filmmaker Kevin Smith. He sat in recently as a guest reviewer on Ebert and Roper while Ebert heals up from whatever ails him. You did see it?
Yes.
Well, then you know that they have a little section each week called the DVD Pick of the Week.
Yes.
You know, you throw out your favorite movie.
Some people feeling you might have picked one of his.
Some people throw out The Godfather. Some people throw out
Apocalypse Now. The box set has just come out. Noir. Yes, yes.
I would throw out Red Dawn. Kevin Smith. Teresa's on the right track. Oh, he threw out one of his movies. No, he did one worse. Check this out.
This is a shameful and shameless self-plug. Have you ever seen a DVD called An Evening with Kevin Smith?
You know, actually, I have.
Have you seen it?
I have.
And he takes the stage and does college lectures. Yeah. And it's not even a lecture, it's Q&A.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I love it. It's me.
Yeah, it's not a movie that he made. It's a movie about him. And what's worse, he refers to himself in the third person in that clip there.
Kevin Smith, big Kevin Smith fan.
Oh, love his films.
He should sign a poster to himself.
He's actually giving himself a bobblehead of himself.
A movie about him talking on camera for 4 hours.
Talking to college kids about what a great producer he is.
My God, yes. He thinks of himself as a wonderful filmmaker. I regard him as a jerk.
Well, look, I don't want to get in the jerk doghouse here, but Kevin Smith I'd spoken to on a number of occasions and told him he should put me in one of his movies, and he did.
Is that right?
He gave me a nice part or a nice couple of scenes in Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back, or whatever that was.
Oh, sweet irony.
I got cut out of the movie, but if you watch the DVD and you watch the extras and the scenes that were deleted, you'll see my scene and you'll see Kevin setting it up, talking to the screen, talking and saying, sorry, Adam. I blame myself. This was, you did a good job, blah, blah, blah. It's really surreal if you have a couple glasses of wine and you sit home and watch it. Yes.
Especially considering the fact that he cut you out. I think the fact that he puts himself.
Well.
All the movies in the history of man. Which is your DVD pick?
A Q&A with myself.
Me talking to junior college students. Yes. And I've said, though, I don't know if this is an insult or not. No fatter man looks less fat than he. He is a fatso, and he looks fantastic. He's got the beard, smart to do if you're getting fat. He has one of those heads that doesn't, you know, if Dave puts on 12 pounds, his head gains 13. I'm the same way. I immediately start packing it on in the jowls and the cheeks. So if you put on 10 pounds, it looks like you put on 500 because people are just looking at your face. He is 275 pounds. He's 5'9". He doesn't really look fat. That's amazing.
And he covers himself in the hockey sweater.
Smart.
Yes.
Smart and chance.
All right. Well, that leaves us with only one left for the creep of the week.
Wow.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. Well, no surprises coming here. It's definitely a she. And this young lady that Adam and I enjoyed a dinner with, she decided we have to write a column about the great Adam Carolla and have him bring somebody along to help fill in some details about Adam
Night
Carolla.
Out, I think they call it, New York Times.
Yeah, it's a feature, a profile of a celebrity.
Yes, Jamie Diamond is her name. You know, she writes glowingly, oh, what a regular guy, funny guy, genius, hidden, cloaked beneath the shell of one of us, a regular man with a unibrow and a dream and a wonderful sense of humor. Oh, but quickly, let me take a detour and comment on his dinner mate, Dave, who she describes as having a round face. Adam Carolla has a lean, angular face. Dave Damashek has a pie face. Seated next to one another, they look like the number 10.
Yeah.
Is that right, lady? Well, I've got a pie face, and you are the creep of the week. Oh, and how about this? Bruska holds up late news. Bruska says we tried to get her on the phone in anticipation of what was predictable, that she would be the creep of the week, and she turned us down.
She didn't return calls, any emails.
Unavailable for comment.
And she has a BlackBerry, so she definitely got the emails, and she did not.
Well, technically, this week's jerk list had been finished, so this keeps her alive for week two.
If she doesn't call in by next week,
yes,
she's could
there's
be
a good chance.
Two-time recipient. Back to back.
And
wow.
I don't have to tell anybody what happens when you get the number 3.
Chubby face. Dave Damashek, he has a chubby face.
All right. I miss that T-Bone Burnett. What the hell's that? What's that guy's name who used to do all those things? Is that him? All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Nice job, David.
Sang the Mr. Belvedere theme is nice. The guy you're thinking of. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Digger the dog. Yeah. Digger, he goes with you when you explore. All righty, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a woman who wants to ban porn in hotel rooms. This ought to be interesting, and maybe an early candidate for next week's jerk report. Yes, Dave? I mean jerk here, list. Here. Sorry, Jimmy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with her after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Fort Texas. A 19-year-old man was charged with child endangerment after leaving his 21-month-old son in an unlocked car for 40 minutes while he went into a strip club. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, we are moving on with the show. Going to speak to Jan LaRue. Jan is calling up because she is attempting to ban pornography from hotel rooms on the SpectraVision. Yes, I realize it's a dirty little secret with the hotel chains because they obviously don't like to advertise that they show porno in the rooms. On the other hand, what revenue for them? And you think, you know, buying beer at the stadium's expensive. This is really expensive. I mean, I don't know, $14 or something for a heavily edited porn film. Do we have her on the line, Brusket?
We had her on the line, and she just hung up, and we tried calling her back 3 times, and she's not picking up. So,
well, it's all right, because everything reminds me of a story. And when Kimmel and I used to do the Kevin and Bean show, we used to go to New York once a year for the MTV Video Music Awards, and we would, or the Film Awards, or whatever the hell they would do over there once a year, when they put us up at the Lowe's Hotel because they were cheap, and it was the cheapest hotel they could find in Manhattan. And by the way, we flew, I gotta think of the, if Kimmel's listening and tell us, I can't remember the airline, but we had to take a bus to the airplane. And it was actually,
really?
We passed New York
like
on the bus.
Braniff or something.
We take the bus to JFK, get in the plane, and then get off the plane and take a cab into the city. But it was awesome that it was the world's cheapest airline. But the point is we'd stay at a hotel, And we figured out a way to beat the SpectraVision. If you bring some needle-nose pliers, you can undo the coax cable behind the box, swap it out, then you bring the universal remote. That's the key. You see, what they do is they program your remote control. It'll go from channel 111 over to channel 1 again. It'll block out the porno channels. That's 113, 112, 115. It'll be there. Bring the universal remote. We were so cheap, though, we only had one universal remote.
Oh, no.
So we would show up. Jimmy was, he was like a MacGyver with a boner. He would take these needle-nose pliers, undo the coax, hook up the coax, put the little jumper cable on there, and then program my TV with porno, and then take the universal remote and go to his room. The problem is once I switched a channel, I could never get the porno back on. So we were there for 8 days. It was 8 days of SpectraVision in Corolla's room. It was nothing but hardcore porn. I didn't know what was going on with the news or anything. And it's a weird thing. And, you know, day number four, you do kind of want to watch. But besides, I beat myself to a pulp now. There's no fluids left in me, and I'm just lying there, broken shell of a man. And I actually want to see what's going on with CNN, but you can't, because once you switch it, you'll never get it back.
Now, what about the next person who gets that hotel room?
Well, he's either S out of luck or the greatest day of his life, depending on how much he likes porn. It's really, he should focus more on the duvet cover than what's going on the TV, because what the Ace Man just did in there.
How did you figure this out? How did you and MacGyver figure out that you could do this with a pliers and a universal remote? It's genius.
I don't know, but when you're, you know, single and you're young and you're going to be confined to a crappy hotel room in Manhattan for 8 days, you become resourceful quickly. Mm-hmm. And we somehow figured it out. And once we did figure it out, well, then every year, and you couldn't do it anymore because you couldn't pack pliers, needle-nose pliers, and universal remote on your carry-on luggage.
Still cheaper to buy some in New York once you get there.
Oh, that we did. We went right down to the Wiz and we bought ourselves a universal remote. That's right.
Well, first of all, thank Jesus this didn't lead the way I thought it was going, which was you and Kimmel side by side on a twin bed watching the same picture.
We had been known to share a room or two. I, as I've said, one of the worst days of my life is when we were sharing a room up in Seattle in the mid-90s. And they were up early to do the morning show, 4:15, 4:30 in the morning. Jimmy hopped in the shower. I hopped in the shower after Jimmy. It was one of these tubs that didn't drain correctly. So when I hopped in, the water was up to my shins because he'd just gotten out of the shower and he'd filled the tub during his shower. And as I was halfway into my shower, he yelled through the door, "Be careful. I took care of business in there. And there's probably an iceberg or two floating in those waters."
Sweet Jesus.
I'm confused. You mean a number...
No, three.
No.
Big three.
Oh, no. Yes.
His manly product was left. No.
Yes.
In the water where your feet were.
And let me tell you something about that, too. It's like one of those magnetic mines during World War II. It doesn't just float around. It seeks the troop transport. You know what I mean? It moves toward your shin. You put your shin in a water with a little Kimmel seed, the seed will start migrating toward...
Kimmel seed.
Toward the shin.
Little known fact is 90% mozzarella cheese.
Yes, that was... 90, it's that low. It should be up in the high 90s.
No, there's some Parmesan.
Oh, okay. Different cheeses in there. Yeah, so anyway, we have some data here that we pulled up in when we're expecting to speak to young Jan LaRue, who wants to outlaw this. 50% of movies in the hotels are these porn movies. I mean, it's 50% of the movies that are bought. And it's, again, if you think about it, think of that revenue stream that goes on. $14 doesn't cost them a penny. I think they just pop it in the video downstairs. It's humiliating when you have to settle up with the bill and you've seen you bang us your anus 13 times and you have to settle up with the nice young lady behind the counter there. Also, we don't have exact figures, but it's into the hundreds of millions of dollars that it generates.
Well, what is her argument against it? Immorality?
I think
in 2006.
Her thing is she says it violates federal and state obscenity laws.
She also feels that viewing hardcore pornography can lead to sex crimes against women and children, which seems like a bit of a jump.
I say it's the exact opposite.
I've made
the proclamation many times. Tonight I rape, and then a couple of nights with the a couple hours with the Spectrovision. It's like, I get to raping tomorrow. You know what I mean? It takes the wind out of your sails.
Right.
Let's put it this way. Let me ask you this. I know this is controversial, but we've been talking about pedophilia all week long. If these guys were hooked up to some sort of milking device moments before they decided it was a good idea to do whatever they did to these young children, do you think they would carry it out? I say no.
Of course, yeah, that poor girl in the Colorado hotel room. Kobe, if he would have had some pornography in there moments
before. That's right, if he'd had the decency to watch the Spectrovision before she was called up to the room. Oh, that's how it works. They always do that thing where they go, this is not a sexual crime. This is a violent crime. Yeah, where you orgasm in the middle of it.
Well,
rape, not sexual. I would argue if the semen is flying from your penis, there's a sexual component to it.
It's at least
call
part
me
of
crazy.
The equation.
Call me crazy. You don't see a lot of guys doing that when they're doing holdups, armed robberies, arson, vehicular from the penis.
Well, if watching hardcore porn leads to sex crimes, I guess the trouble for me is I once read in Cosmo, I don't know if that's a good source, that every man in the world watches porn, and that if any guy tells you he doesn't, he's lying. So therefore, if every guy watches porn and every guy is not a sex criminal, this argument is debunked.
That's right. It's the same argument they make with teenagers and violent video games. You have to have the capacity to do it in the first place. You can't force a sane person to go out and rape or a sane person to go out and commit murder because they've been watching a video game or watching Spectrum.
Just imagine if Jimmy had not taken care of business in the shower that morning, you may well have been raped.
Again. Yes.
Your ankles were raped in the bathtub in a way.
Yes. Yes. Actually, rape would have been a nice step up from what happened to me in the bathtub. Yes. A giant step in the right direction. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Screw Jan LaRue. It's the name of my next porn. We will be back with news and sports. Tee up that news.
Yes, well, I'll give you a little John Mark Carr update. Maybe we'll play the song again. I have a funny feeling we will.
It's growing on you.
It really is. And another song from none other than Wayne Gretzky's daughter, who would like to be a pop star. I'll play that for you and see. You guys will tell me if it's any good.
He doesn't. David does not like Gretzky because he loves Mario Lemieux and he doesn't have enough room in his hockey heart for two. But I bet she's foxy.
I'm going to guess she
may be, but he's a coward. I'll tell you why.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll find out the answer to that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This Friday is the first ever Corolla Car Wash from 8 to 10 a.m. at 5925 Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, one block west of Cahuenga. You bring your dirty car, and we'll bring the dirty girls.
Oh, yeah!
That's right, the Free FM Bod Squad and the girls from Scores are going to wash your car. And your girlfriend can't give you any crap about it.
Yeah!
Because it's all for the charity Talk About Curing Autism. So bring a donation and have some Aussie's Flapsteak.
My marinade is special and secret.
It's the first ever Corolla Car Wash this Friday morning. Don't miss it.
Okay.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes. I will see you there, again, for a good cause, hot chicks, but mainly the flap steak. I got to tell you, you will be ruined for all meat. You won't even want to look at another cow. You will not.
The car wash is for charity, you should mention.
How better to honor a nice charity than with big wet boobs?
Mm-hmm. True. Flap steak and wet boobies for
However
autism.
However you have to earn the money, it still helps autism.
Well, we'll be there, and we hope to see you. And again, like I said, whether you're a boob man or not, maybe you're female, not so interested in boobs. Have a set of your own to play with. You have a dirty car, and you got a mouth that needs feeding. That's all you need. Try Aussie's Flap Steak. I'm telling you, it is my life's work to get that guy a shack where he just cooks well, now it's my kitchen, actually, but one where he gets to actually get paid by somebody else, namely the consumer. All right, we were speaking last break about pornography, the Spectrovision in the hotel rooms, and what a big little secret it is, how much money is generated from the hotel chains, and not just Ma and Pa motels, not the Farmer's Daughter motel, but big hotel chains making millions of dollars. Here's someone who wants to put a stop to it. We were going to talk to one of his cohorts. Last time, she dropped off. Uh-oh. David?
Hey.
Let's see. Are you hearing me echo, or is that just me? Let's try this again. Let me put you on hold and see if we can straighten this out. David Miller is the vice president of Citizens for Community Values. I don't know if I like the way that sounds.
Sounds like he's the only guy in that group.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, with the echo, it sounds like there's five or six guys in there. And then we'll do news and sports, by the way. David?
Is that better?
Mm-hmm. No. You don't echo, but I'm echoing. Should we hang up on him and try calling back?
It makes your argument that much more powerful.
You're echoing
whatever
now
point
too.
He makes.
Oh, now you're echoing, Dave.
Wow, this is
at shooting guard from Pittsburgh, PA.
The Pittsburgh Penguins speaks again.
Even Jimmy's echoing. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that worked, David? Oh, I see. We potted him down. That cleared it up. Let me try it again. Let's see. I'll put him on hold. David? Okay, now he's just hung up.
Interesting.
And now he's off the line.
Well,
let me continue to announce introduce myself as a starting in the starting lineup. A 6'3".
Yeah. Not echoing.
To hell with it.
All right, well, David is dropped off probably because of technical difficulties, although it's a little suspicious because Jan...
This is the second one. This is crazy.
...has dropped off, too.
Let's do the news. And
he
then...
was on the phone, and then it started echoing. I think he's calling back. Let me just try punching this and see if... Kyle, is he back?
Is he back?
I'm trying to get him on the line. Okay, let me just try this. David?
No.
That's them dialing.
Okay. Well, good news, everybody.
Well, from the car wash to the John Mark car, suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he had a brief court appearance. He waived his right to extradition. He does not mind going to Colorado. And some interesting facts have come to light about John Mark Carr. One of the most interesting, I thought... a family friend is saying that his mother tried to kill him when he was a toddler by wrapping him up with some kindling, and she was about to set him on fire when Carr's older brother came in and stopped her.
Mommy's
now dead, but she did serve a stint in the mental hospital.
Would have been nice if she was able to carry that mission out. I know it sounds sad, but you think about it. If, in fact, he went on to kill JonBenet Ramsey, then it would have been a good thing. The creepiest thing in the world is the guy who ended up killing John Lennon was this close to committing suicide in Hawaii when a fisherman saw him parked in his car on the beach in Hawaii. He was going to look at the sunrise and commit suicide by sucking in the carbon monoxide. Had the garden hose going to the exhaust pipe of the Chevy, and the guy pulled him out of the car, resuscitated him, brought him back to life, and 5 years later, he kills John Lennon.
I'm waiting for this guy, for this John Mark Carr, to be finally revealed as a character that Martin Short is playing.
Really?
You gotcha! Think
like a punked kind of thing. Okay, which audio do you want to hear first? I have Wayne Gretzky's daughter's song, or I have alleged tapes of John Mark Carr on the phone.
Let me say something that jumped into my mind before I make that decision. We pulled this guy out from, he was in Bangkok, right?
Yes,
because
he was
in Thailand. The sex tourism, perhaps with all the sex tourism going on in there and the pedophilia and whatnot, the selling of the children sexually, perhaps Bangkok, not the greatest name. Maybe we should change the name of the town.
Or
maybe
if you pronounce it, are you pronouncing it correctly, Teresa, when you say Bangkok?
Bangkok.
You say, but it's a different.
Bangkok, Thailand.
Bangkok. Oh, yeah. Bangkok is the antithesis.
Well, that's what they should call it.
Bangkok.
But I always pronounce it Bangkok, and that's.
Well, there's another. I believe the capital is Phuket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can say it. It's the name of a place. But if I mispronounce it, I'm out of a job tomorrow. Okay, so you want to hear the creepy tape of John Mark Carr?
Yes, I can't get enough of that.
Let's listen to a little bit. Brian doesn't even like playing it.
Okay. I have held little girls in just about every way you could imagine.
Really? Oh, that must be
held them. But I've watched fathers in public hold those same little girls in the same every way that I have. I've kissed little girls in the mouth. And Dave actually most of the time initiated the kiss.
Now, we should say that no one has been able to independently confirm that that is John Mark Carr, but there is a high, seems to be a high likelihood that that
see
is.
See what happens when people watch Spectrovision? Do you see what it turns them into?
That's what happens.
I start singing. I stand by the song, though. He does a nice job.
Okay.
On it.
We all agree that he does a nice job with the song. Now, here's Wayne Gretzky's daughter. She's a 17-year-old named Paulina. She's an aspiring singer. And
oh,
these
please
days,
be singing this song again. I know it's only like a 25% chance she's going to be, but that would be awesome.
It's I believe it's an original that
oh,
she has
damn.
Released. She's released on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hate myself for liking it. It's called Collecting Dust. I'll see what you think.
Yes! Yes! Oh, what no. And for a second, I thought, wow,
seems,
lightning has struck twice.
It seems a little derivative of the...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I know you don't like Wayne Gretzky, but the daughter's not a bad singer.
I've not seen her, but she's got to be hot because she has a... Her dad looks like a hot chick, and
then
her mom
hot.
Is a hot chick. So how are you going to go wrong with that?
That's a good point. Okay, Jessica Alba, speaking of hot chicks, is shooting a new comedy. And here, she talks about the rigors of shooting a recent love scene.
I'm shooting my first comedy called Good Luck Chuck. Yesterday, actually, we did all of our love scenes in one day, and I chipped a tooth. So I have to get that. Oh, and I lost a tooth. Isn't that disgusting? Yeah, I lost a tooth, and I chipped a tooth. We are smashing our faces together.
Shouldn't she be working on curing AIDS?
Jessica Alba?
It seems like a waste.
It does, of a great mind.
Of a great mind. I've decided that she's a dim bulb.
Really?
As hot as she is, I don't think she has anything to say, does she?
Well, you know, I sat next to her at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Next to her, if you recall. And then the Entertainment Tonight and everything else went wild with the rumors and everything. But as I've said...
How did you find her?
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman and a dynamite lady. But I just have to say again, since her name keeps coming up ever since the Super Bowl, she and I are not an item. Repeat, not an item.
Okay.
Okay, but the more you deny it,
that's
the weirder
right.
it seems to me. All right. How fast do human beings judge each other? I thought this was an interesting study out of Princeton University. Our brains decide whether or not a person is trustworthy and attractive within 1/10 of a second.
Mm.
We very rarely change that initial opinion after the snap judgment, and experts say there's a very good reason for this. The fear center in our brains is wired to know immediately whether or not we can trust. You know, we're all animals, and we need to know who's a predator and who we can trust. So
right.
within a tenth of a second... You know.
That's why it's a joke when they say don't profile. No profiling. That's all you do as a human is profile. Everything that's alive profiles. Animals do it. This is something that is sewn into our DNA. You're walking down the street, you see a dog wagging its tail versus a dog that's hunched back walking sideways, showing its teeth. That's all you do. All you do is profile. You can't stop it. Then when we ask people to stop doing it at the airport or cops to stop doing it, it can't be done. And I'm going to take it a step further. They always break it up into racial profiling, whether it's cops or people at the airport, whoever you're talking about, whatever race you're talking about. I don't think it should be broken up that way. It's either you profile or you don't. Race is a component. Age is a component. Sex is a component. The car you're driving's a component. The way you're dressed is a component. It's all component, but it's you can't separate. You can't break it off into racial or not. I say bring it on. More profiling, and how are you going to stop it?
Well, the folks at Princeton would agree with you. Our brains are hardwired to do this and to do it in an instant. I am Teresa Strasser, and that is the news. And I'm
falling, I love this song now. My new karaoke number. Hold on a second. Let me say something. Let me tell you the people that are bad at profiling, the people that decide that pedophiles with mullets should sing at their weddings. Those are people that are bad. The people that are bad at profiling, these are the guys who marry the serial killers. These are the people decide to go on vacation with people that are going to kill them. The people that don't profile well, the stupid people, the people that can't stop gauging, who have roommates that clean them out, yes, who have spouses that abuse them, who this, who that, who other, who pick up hitchhikers, who stab them. These are the people who don't have the ability to profile, and thus, those people, if you're an animal, if you're human, if you're horrible at profiling, you could be dead. That's how the world works.
I mean, if
that's
I'm
right.
about to get into an elevator, and I have a gut feeling that whatever guy is in there isn't right, I will not get in that
that's
elevator.
That's right. Brusk, I'll have to wait till the next one or take the stairs. I agree, and this is what happens. You don't profile at the airport, you die on the plane. That's how it works. It is there to keep you alive.
Yes, the gift
Thank
of,
you.
There's a book, The Gift of Fear.
Yes, stop
this.
Turning everything we do into something bad. You pussies out there, you ACL pussies. Stop turning every instinct we have to profile, to eat meat, to fornicate, whatever it is. Stop turning it into something bad. It's sewn into us. Someone, get me something to profile, a hamburger and something to hump.
Seems so simple. And you know what else is sewn into the fabric of our being? Sports.
Yeah.
I tried, Dave.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Thank goodness you stepped in there, Teresa. That could have gone another 25, 30 minutes.
No, I could keep going.
Speaking of profiling, I profiled this so-called great one, Wayne Gretzky,
as a jerk
when I instantaneously met him. Now, that's a story I'll say for another
really?
Day, perhaps tomorrow.
It's in a tenth of a second, you knew he was a jerk.
Listen, Nancy boy Gretzky. Listen, let's just talk about the national pastime before I get heated up. Just a mere 8 days from the start of college football season. Football just about here, but in the meantime, Dodgers cannot beat the San Diego Padres for the life of them. They've lost 10 of the last 11 games against them. Last night, they lost 1-0 in a pitcher's duel down in Petco Park. Dodgers NL West lead now down to a mere 2 games. Gigantics, meantime, beat the Snakes of Arizona. Junior Circuit, Halos have won 5 straight after beating the Bostons last night. Mariners beat the Yankees, and the first place A's put down by the Jays. Now, I just have to reiterate this story that we talked about earlier today. Beautiful new state-of-the-art stadium outside of Phoenix, Arizona, designed by architect Frank Gehry. Everyone loves his work, so on and so forth. And they're apparently considering completing a $30 million deal for the next 10 years, calling this brand new stadium Pink Taco Stadium. The Pink Taco. What gives? That is, it's filthy. And what is next then? If we then, does society end with the stadium being named after slang for female genitalia?
It's not even a double entendre, because is there such a thing as a pink taco?
Fish.
Oh,
no,
it's a kind of fish.
Nah, I don't know. I see that. I see that whenever I go to the Hard Rock in Vegas, and I always think, you Nimrods. Do you have any brains at all? Yes, it's very on the nose, as T said earlier in the morning. It's something that stupid people think is clever. Big Tad
exactly.
is probably
Snickering.
In love with
Can
that.
Can you believe we're eating in a restaurant? We're eating in a restaurant called the Van. I can't
right.
believe it.
Plus, then when you order the kielbasa, it gets really weird. Next thing you know, you got a kid.
The Phoenix Coyotes' new arena, she'll be called the Summer's Eve Arena.
Let's just call it the Bunghole Arena.
The mind reels at the possibilities.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Thank you.
That's it.
We gotta be. Bruska, say we gotta go. We gotta go.
Right, just be poised.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All
Believe
right.
me, I have a good 15-minute yarn about how great the great one ain't.
We are. We're going to dust off a bit we haven't done in a while, and not for any good reason, because I'm in love with it, the Which Weighs More.
Ah.
We get Big Tad in here, we put him on the scale, we weigh him in, and I'm guessing he's put on a couple pounds since his last time on the scale.
Let me tell you, he tackled me, and I was feeling it for days.
He came on about 320 or so. I got to believe he's...
What? He's over three?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I got to say he's 330 plus if he's an ounce. And the game is you figure out, you know, you say a Wurlitzer jukebox from 1953 filled with Chubby Checker records. Which weighs more, that or Big Tad? It is. It's quite amazing, and it's a tough game to play.
He
so we'll do that.
He was over 300 pounds when he was a fetus.
You can play along with us and win yourself some Rolling Stones tickets if you like. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Which Weighs More after this.
Call 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Lenny Leonard, you know, from Moe's. Call Adam right now at 866-901-ADAM, and don't hit him in the eye.
Well, don't worry about that. We got a full phone bank because everyone wants those Stones tickets. Big Tad just weighed in. He came in at 3:32.
Oof.
Good thing you took your shoes off, Tad, or that could have gotten embarrassing. What do you think you're going to do? Take your shoes off and be 189 on the scale? What?
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
And I wanted you to see my feet.
3:32, not bad, but if it's 3:32 and 9 ounces, then you got to be checked into a hospital. Teresa, he's a formidable man, yes?
Yes. The other day when I was trying to get out of the studio, I had no trouble with Mike Lynch. Apparently, I
don't remember
him.
Dusting him off.
I don't even remember. But then Tad, and he wasn't trying to hurt me at all. He just put his hands on my shoulders, and I was completely immobilized.
Well, you were like Earl Campbell shaking off the Boz. Yes. Brian Bosworth just running right over him. If in fact they played in the same years, I think
Campbell
maybe more
ran
Bo
over
Jackson.
Jack Tatum. Boz. We
that's,
get the point.
That's right. But then you ran into literally the fridge, and you weren't going anywhere. And I will tell you this, and Tad, please stop me if I'm wrong, but when we were playing basketball at the first season Man Show rap party, where everyone got drunk as per usual and decided it'd be a good idea to play hoops at the rap party, I was guarding Big Tad, who made a move to the middle. Big Tad launched himself toward the hoop with his back to the hoop. He was trying to post me. He then landed on me, and there was not one part of Big Tad's body that was touching the ground.
Yeah, and
I was a human coaster for Big Tad. Tad launched himself backwards, landed on me. I was on my back on the cement. Tad was on top of me, and not even his shoe was touching the ground. It was all on me.
I've never been invited back to basketball, by the way, after that.
You clog up the middle the way your arteries are clogged.
Yeah, on the good hand for his team when you play basketball with him, and I have played with him, is that he is immovable in the low post, but on the bad side for him, for his team, he never moves at all. That's the only
immovable
place he stays.
I'm like Shaq, man.
All right, let's get started with a little something we call Which Weighs More.
Which Weighs More?
That's right. Welcome to Which Weighs More, the game where you guess which weighs more, Big Tad or various large items. Tad's present weight is 332 pounds.
Let's start with Roxy. Roxy?
Good morning.
You want those Stones tickets, you gotta earn them. Here we go.
All right, which weighs more, Big Tad or a stainless steel Kenmore Elite dishwasher with auto sensor system?
I'm going to say Big Tad.
Yeah, I'm going to go Big Tad on that one, too. Seems like that washer comes in the low twos, maybe high ones.
That is correct. The dishwasher weighs 94.4 pounds.
Oh, that's... Hell, we need three or four of those to get to Big Tad. All right, now, how do you want to do this? We only have a couple sets of tickets, so let's go best out of three with Roxy. Let's go again, Dawson.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or the primary mirror from the Hubble Space Telescope?
Really?
Well, I know the answer to this one, so I can't. What do you think, Roxy?
I'm
going to
say Big Tad.
You say Big Tad?
Thanks, Roxy.
I'm going to go with the mirror on this
telescope
one.
Telescope appropriate since he's the size of Jupiter.
That's right. Here we go, and he's surrounded by onion rings. Yes.
The mirror weighs more at 1,825 pounds.
Just a couple of donuts away, Tad. Reaching your goal of weighing as much as a space mirror. Okay, so now it is one. There's one more left, Roxy. You get it right, you're going to see the Stones at Dodger Stadium on the 16th. You get it wrong, burn in hell.
She got two right, though. She did get two right.
No, she said me. She said I weighed more than
the first one.
Mirror.
She got right.
Yeah.
And this one she got right.
No.
She said,
I'm sorry. Yeah. You listen to the show?
I messed that up.
Yeah. All right, yes. All right, here we go. Last one.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or 8 Stanley Cups?
Whoa.
Stanley Cup cakes.
Mmm.
I think the Stanley Cups play more.
8 Stanley Cups. Well, since I'm not going, why don't we give the answer and find this out?
Big Tad weighs more than 8 Stanley Cups. 8 Stanley Cups coming in at 276 pounds.
And that's because he ate 3 Stanley Cups.
I'm sorry, Roxy. You'll not be seeing the Stones, but someone else is going to get an opportunity to do this in just one moment. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to play Which Weighs More for your chance to go see the Rolling Stones.
We'll be right back with more. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Lisa Loeb, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
I miss that little minx. All right, time to carry on with a little game we call...
Welcome back to Which Weighs More, the game where you guess which weighs more, Big Tad or various large items. Big Tad's present weight, 332 pounds.
All right, we have some Rolling Stones tickets on the line. Brandon?
Man.
You ready to go, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Well, here we go.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or 4 newborn manatees?
Wow. let's go with Tad.
Going with Big Tad. I'm not even going to venture a guess.
The caller is correct. Big Tad weighs more than 4 newborn manatees. The manatees come in at 280 pounds.
Well, they retain their dignity. Okay, and if you get 2 out of 3, you'll be going to the Rolling Stones concert. So let's move on to the next one, please.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or the world's largest pumpkin, as seen in the 2005 Pennsylvania State Fair?
Well, I tell you, a lot of range does gourds have. You see the little mini ones that adorn the table during Thanksgiving time, and then you see the ones that are crushing a pickup truck. Amazing range does,
which
pumpkins
Tad
have.
Which Tad has done on a couple of occasions himself.
Yeah, no, that's what really? I was talking about, yeah.
Oh.
What do you think, Brandon?
Let's go with Fat Tad again.
It's Big Tad, by the way.
It's not Fat Tad, sorry. Jeez, I don't think he's right on this one.
That is incorrect. The largest pumpkin weighs 1,469 pounds.
Ah, Brandon.
Unfortunately, Brandon, you are incorrect.
What a victory.
All right, well, now here's the rubber match, because you are 1 for 2, and if you go 2 for 3, you're going to the Stones. Here we go.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or a Miss Pac-Man machine?
The machine.
Going with the machine.
That is correct.
Yay, Brandon.
Must have just inched him out, or ounced him out, as it were.
By about 61 pounds, if my math is correct. 395 pounds.
391 or 5 pounds.
95 pounds.
Brandon, you are going to see the Rolling Stones.
And I'm your date.
To the Rolling Scones.
So a hearty mazel tov to you. We will take a break. We'll be back to wrap up and wrap out after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Dana Gould, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, whoa, what were we talking about? All right, well, just a few moments left. Diamond Dallas Page, professional wrestler and trainer extraordinaire, has just phoned in. Diamond?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening? You want to train Big Tad?
I'll tell you what, only if you guys are going to help me. Because if I put him on the YRG program...
All right, well, we're not going to help, so we need to move forward. If that's the caveat, I'm sorry, I can't participate. No, you'll put him on the yoga for dudes, huh?
Yoga for regular guys.
For regular guys.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Diamond Dallas Page was in studio a few weeks back. He took his kneecap and placed it on his forehead while he was standing there. I could see his sack, but it was still intriguing. It really was.
I was intrigued.
Yes. All right, so you want to train Big Tad?
Like I said, if you're going to help on one side, all I need to do is not help.
Okay. Well, that's easy.
Well, if you go to DiamondDallasPage.com, you'll see a bunch of guys who lost a bunch of weight. Regular guys like Tad. I don't know if anybody's like Tad.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, he's a 4 or 5X.
He weighs more than 4 baby manatees. That's what I learned in the last break. All right, we're running late, Diamond Dallas, but we do appreciate you calling in. And I appreciate this song, too. All right, he's going to train Big Tad. We'll keep you posted on that. We will take ourselves a little extendo break. Tara Patrick. Now, she's a foxy porn star. Nice D cup coming in here tomorrow. Also, speaking of foxy D cups, Perez Hilton. Gossip queen Perez Hilton in here. Put the kid on the map, and now he's a juggernaut.
She tasted like champagne.
All coming up tomorrow on the Adam Carolla Show. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.